traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
The following is a best of the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown is off today, but she will be back on Monday. Until then, enjoy this best of at 7 o'clock p.m. by Liam J. Smith, filling in for Liz Brown, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. And don't forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. So anywhere from Xenia to Zimbabwe, you can catch us live on the World Wide Web. And my email address is Liz Brown, LizzBrown, at sbcglobal.net. They're my digits. Handle your business. Get to us. We have much to talk about this morning. I always feel like, you know, I should do this intermittent thing on my show, intermittently apologize and say, you know, there's very little good news out there. There's always something that we need to have a heads up on and address. And today, this morning, this hour is no exception. Unfortunately, we as a society have been taught to that we don't have our health in our own hands, that we have to rely upon the pharmaceutical industries to resolve and solve our issues, all of our issues, many of our issues, too many of our issues. My favorite example, of course, are the commercials that for antacids, where they show people eating incredible amounts of meat or spicy stuff or greasy, heavy stuff. And the commercial advocates that, you know, you eat these things, all you have to do is take this pill or swallow this medicine and you'll be able to quiet the gas or the acid in your system. And I can't help but think that, man, that's just backwards. If your body is responding with acid and gas, it's a warning cry from your body saying, don't put this in me. Don't put that stuff in me. And we live in a society that encourages us to do harm to our body and then take pharmaceuticals on top of that to deal with it. And on top of the reckless advocation of pharmaceuticals to solve our problems, we then have true needs that people have of some pharmaceuticals, and we find ourselves at a place that those pharmaceuticals aren't doing right by us either. Case in point, Vioxx. Tens of thousands of people with strokes. Hundreds of people have died. 700 lawsuits. And we live in a nation that says, oh, yeah, you can put that stuff back up on the shelf. You can let people have that stuff. What's going on? We need to talk about this. And to facilitate that conversation, I have with me Dr. Cash Ingram. He is the author of 15 books, How to Eat Right, Live Longer. He also holds a doctorate of osteopathy degree from the University of Medicine and Health Sciences. Dr. Ingram, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Fantastic. Good stuff, Liz.
I'm floored. I am floored by the fact that Vioxx is can return back to our pharmacy shelf.
Yes. I think a reasonable estimate, Liz, is 100,000 deaths from this drug. Now, that's more people than have died from all the natural disasters that I've been able to calculate in the last 30 years in the United States, essentially. And every time I lecture to an audience, there's at least one person who's had a stroke, a mini stroke, a heart attack, a blood clot from Vioxx. And I'm obviously lecturing to people who have ill health. I mean, if you take 100,000 and divide it into, 300 million people in North America, I mean, that's a significant percentage of the population. And,
Let's walk back a little bit, Dr. Ingram. Tell us about Vioxx. What is Vioxx, and why is it such a dangerous drug?
It's an enzyme poison, huh? What it does is it irreversibly destroys an enzyme in the body. And that enzyme is involved in the inflammation process, right? In other words, if there's an insult, if you bruise your knee or if you get bit by a tick, like on your calf, and then, you know, frequently if you have a tick bite, you'd get, and there's a lot of ticks in Missouri, I know you're worldwide, but, or if you have a bad root canal and it seeds an infection into the body and you get arthritis, or if you have a reaction to a drug and you end up with arthritis, what's happening is there's an enzyme that's splitting and catalyzing certain molecules that we call the inflammatory cascade. They're what we call pro-inflammatory natural molecules. And, you know, like you said, the body is putting those molecules out to say, warning, I've got a problem in my left knee. Can you come down and help me? It's telling the white blood cells, you know?
Yeah.
So let's say that you have a tick bite, for example, or you have a wound that got in, and you got some kind of an infection into that knee or hip, or like I mentioned, the bad root canal. All root canals are probably bad, but so now you've killed the enzyme, right? See?
Mm-hmm.
And the white cells, you know, they don't know what's going on. So that staph or that, you know, spirochete or that inflammation or infection brews and stews and brews, and there's no white cells, there's no immune system going down there to clean it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you develop a clot. Then the clot goes into the blood. Still, nobody knows what's going on. Then the clot goes into the heart, and then the heart shoots it up to the brain or into the lungs, and the guy dies, or the gal dies.
Well, why is this drug on the market if it doesn't? What's the argument behind having this Vioxx on the market?
You mean right now?
Yes.
The argument is that the panel is culpable because they did the phony research.
Oh, I don't mean that. I mean when the pharmaceutical profession brought Vioxx to us,
yeah.
What did they say that it would do?
That it would kill this. It would not kill. They didn't say that, but that it would calm this enzyme. It would block this enzyme and would reduce inflammation and pain, which it did. It did reduce pain. But I could do that in a lot of ways. I could take a saw and probably reduce the pain in that knee for a while.
Yeah, you could.
I mean, so, why it's back on is that the very panel that voted it back are the same people who have their hands dirty in bringing it on the market. So what
they have
a legal argument. There's two reasons that they put it back. One, if it's back on the market, then we won't be as culpable in the lawsuits because we can say that it's still on the market and it's still approved by the FDA, see?
Mm.
So they can't be hit with as much conspiracy to defraud. The second is, you're on that panel, and you did the research, and you were paid off $100,000 by Merck, and given a cushy job future and given a big screen TV and who knows what you got. And your wife went to Hawaii with the kids and she spoke at a conference, And so those are the people who put it back on the market. They did it to protect their own. So because they were so in it. I mean, it's a cover-up. It's just that's all it is. And,
yeah.
Someone will die by the time, this show ends from a COX-2 inhibitor. In this country, whether it be Celebrex or Vioxx or Bextra, it's going to happen.
And in terms of the amount of money that the pharmaceutical industry is making off of Vioxx, what kind of money are we talking about?
Well, I believe it was a couple of billion in its history, $1 billion, end to end, $1 bill goes 1.5 times around the earth. It's a lot of money. And, you've got that much in the coffers. Let's say that 30% of that's profit. So you've got $750 million or $1 billion in the coffers. And I may be wrong. I'm on low on side on the estimate there. And so you can fight a lot of lawsuits. What you're going to do is set a lot of court. You're going to do that kind of thing. And that's what the shoot 'em up Prozac's been doing. Eli Lilly, set a lot of court here, set a lot of court there because it's a $2 billion drug, whatever it is,
Now, in terms of the argument that is used by those in the pharmaceutical industry and even some doctors that Vioxx is needed because of the special way that it is able to deal with pain for many people, Dr. Ingram, are there alternatives out there to Vioxx?
Oh, I tell you, why don't we do something natural for once? At least we won't cause any organ damage or stroke or heart attack or high blood pressure attack or blood clots in the leg, right?
Uh-huh.
You can get better results with a common food than with Vioxx. All you got to do is buy a papaya, scoop the seeds out, and throw it in a blender with some apple cider vinegar, with a bit of olive oil and a garlic clove, and drink that every morning. That's about as anti-pain as you can get. In my Power Foods kit, I tell you to do these things. I mean, I tell you to go get a double handful of raw almonds if you're a miserable pain sufferer. There's salicylate in almonds. In a handful of almonds, there's more salicylate than an aspirin pill, right? I mean, these people are in the thick of it, in the pocketbook. It's not because Vioxx is a cure or that it's necessary or we can't survive without it. It's because it's about, the profit that's out there and that the people who are involved in approving it have to protect themselves from being sued. But there's a lot of natural things. I mean, there's infla yeast. Man, is this something else? This is totally natural. This works better than any drug I've ever seen. And I even gave this to a person who dropped a cup of boiling water on her foot. And the foot swelled. I mean, this was a massive third-degree burn hospitalization case. I stopped her from having to go to the hospital.
What is this that you're talking about?
These are all natural things. I'm taking it right now and experimenting with it for something, and it's working. It's got bromelain in it. Okay, you know what? That's from the papaya. I mean, that's from the pineapple, the green part of the pineapple. All right? And papain, which is in the papaya, right? And ginger root, where they actually take the oil out of the ginger root from distillation and then dry it under a vacuum. And that's a very powerful anti-inflammatory, ginger, and turmeric, and a very interesting berry that's very high in natural vitamin C, camu-camu, and royal jelly, which acts as a natural steroids. Plus, it has a natural germicide in it, wild oregano, many of you have heard about. And there's a good data that are threatening. You know what the other problem with the Vioxx is and Celebrex? Is that it destroys the cause of arthritis that can be very dangerous. I mean, it destroys the process. And that's infection. According to postgraduate medicine, up to 80% of arthritis is due to infection somewhere in the body, okay? So if you take an anti-inflammatory, which neutralizes the immune system, which this, of course, doesn't. This strengthens the immune system. I'll tell you a story about this in a minute. Do you know that you're putting the patient's life at risk? You know, in other words, the white cells are shut down, and the infection can go on a rampage and kill the individual. So it's fighting the very mechanism we need to assist, the immune system, you know? Now, I put this on a couple of people, because I know it's not easy to go get a papaya and scoop the seeds out, so it's kind of nice to have a pill, and although it's natural. And one woman has a cyst in her ovary, right? And, you know, she's starting to seep the poisons out, you know, from the privates. Those poisons are coming out. So you see how something natural can assist the healing process without hurting them.
Well, I can't imagine, Dr. Ingram, that you are very... you must face a lot of challenges in the type of medicine that you practice.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't want me in practice anymore. So I kind of went into publishing, and they've got, you know, these sort of things. Some people want my head, right? So I'm publishing, doing the lectures, and helping, you know, get the word out.
Well, one of the things that I want to talk to you a bit more about are some of the other drugs. It's not simply Vioxx. It's not simply Celebrex. There are other drugs that are out on the market that have dangerous side effects that people need to be aware of. Could you talk to us about some of those other drugs?
Well, Cerovent, you know, is for asthma, but it caused the asthmatics to die suddenly. Another example is Meridia for weight loss, but it caused, you know, people to die of heart failure. I mean, what good is the weight loss if you did? You did. And, of course, a very prominent example that we never think of is aspirin. It causes more bleeding deaths than anything in this country. You know, several thousand people globally actually die from simple aspirin every year.
But doctors, you know, advocate that people take, some many doctors are now advocating that people take aspirin every day.
Well, the New England Journal of Medicine begs to differ, where they did the study showing that somebody like you or me, where the doctor said you should take an aspirin a day to thin your blood because your dad had a heart attack when he was 55, the ones who said, you know what, I don't think I'm going to do it, did better than the aspirin takers. There was two or three times more hospitalizations than those who bought into that from heart failure. One of the biggest things aspirin was doing was causing heart failure, where the body swells up, you know?
And we have to take a break. I'm talking to Dr. Cass Ingram. He is the author of about 15 books, including the book How to Eat Right and Live Longer and Nutrition Tests for a Better Health. He's joining us from Toronto, Canada, and we're talking about the return of the killer pills, Vioxx, and others. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me. We have much to talk about.
Like a light bulb in a dark room, I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, Broadway, that is road maintenance, and that has that ramp closed. You can use the 11th Street exit or 14th to get around. Eastbound 44 from Lewis to Merrimack River Bridge, no problems to report. Northbound 55 from 141 to Carondelet, everything is on the move. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor all the way into Lindbergh, nothing to report there. Northbound 270 from Sappington to Big Bend, traffic is flowing freely. Westbound 270 from Riverview all the way into New Florissant, nothing to report. Eastbound 70 at 79 out in St. Charles County. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 5570 at the PSB. Everything is running smoothly. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split. Look for no problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Everything's on the move. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect no delays in your 6:30 commute. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. For convenient service and competitive prices, your local Toyota dealer. Oil changes, tires, batteries, and brakes, they do it all. That's moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. This weekend looks good. Sunny skies today, high in the lower 60s this evening, clear with a low in the lower 40s. Saturday and Sunday look very good. Mostly sunny on Saturday with a high in the upper 60s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 40s. And Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under clear skies, we have 41 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 38 and clear skies as well. Liz Brown is off today. She will be back on Monday, so we are bringing you the best of the wake-up call. Beginning at 7 o'clock, Irene J. Smith will be filling in for Liz Brown. Until then, enjoy this best of the wake-up call right here at AM 920 WGNU. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call. 382-2568.
It's Kevin
and Sue McCarthy inviting you to join us for the Travel Planner Show every Saturday afternoon.
We'll talk travel, share our experiences, tell you about some great deals and steals, and give you some travel tips like this.
We always cross-pack at least one change of clothes in each other's bag, just in case a bag gets lost.
Plus, it sure does give the security guys a good laugh when they see those little panties in my bag.
So tell a friend, it's the Travel Planner Show, starting October 22nd from 2 to 4 every Saturday afternoon.
On Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU.
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920, WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive T-shirt as a thank you.
Liz Brown is off today, beginning at 7 o'clock. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her. Until then, enjoy this best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. A couple of bookkeeping matters before we get back to our guest. Don't forget that the Northside Neighborhood Action Association has a school board candidate forum Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon. It's the last one before the election on Tuesday. Booker Washington is the president. Continental breakfast will be served. The forum will take place at North Park United Methodist Church, 1525 Orchid. That's at Riverview and Halls Ferry Circle. Please attend. I know that you have a million questions to ask of these people that want to become our next school board members. Don't forget that the last day to sign up for our trip to South Africa and Ghana is today. You need to get your phone calls made to 770-979-1627. That's 770-979-1627. We're going home to South Africa and Ghana. And also, I just want to give a heads up that Davy Falls has passed away. He's one of our frequent callers. And his visitation will be held at Austin Lane Mortuary. That's 7239 West Florissant on Tuesday from 4 to 8 p.m. This is Liz Brown in the Wake Up Call. I am talking this morning about killer drugs, about Vioxx, and we are having this conversation with Dr. Cass Ingram, who's joining us from Toronto, Canada.
You know, Liz, 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, how many 100,000 do we have before we take action? How many mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and daughters? How many autism cases from vaccinations? How many popes? You know, the pope is dying from a drug, from the flu vaccine. You know, how many other people have to become a medical catastrophe before we do something? I'll give you a contrast. It wasn't always like this. You were talking about history. In Baghdad, in the Islamic Empire, for instance, in the 10th century, it came to the caliph, 9th century, that a person died from a silly procedure by a doctor. He hauled all the doctors from the entire empire. You know how Africa was a huge empire? Well, there were huge empires, and they brought everybody and sat them down and made them go through exams, and he watched the future of these doctors to make sure that doctors didn't kill patients. And you were mentioning about African history. I don't know how many people knew this. I've written a book that talks about a man who was the top literary scholar, the top literist of all time, and probably the Aesop's fables go to him, not the Greeks. He was a black man in the 10th century, 9th and 10th century, by the name of Al-Jahiz. Nobody knows this. It's buried in the scientific annals. But I've written about it in another book. I do some books on history, too.
And Dr. Ingram, one of the things that I want to talk about, because this issue of drugs that are on the market, drugs that are being used in America, and indeed the drug culture, and if I can just take an aside here,
yeah.
I went to a doctor yesterday, and I was amazed, Dr. Ingram, that I had a dislocated toe. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor asked me three times whether or not I wanted any pain pills to deal with or pain shots to deal with my
pain. You want morphine? You want to be on a drug? You know?
And I was taken back because I don't visit the doctor very often, and I was taken back by this three times I was asked this.
But you don't know if he has. You should ask, what's your stock portfolio?
Mm-hmm.
You should ask, are you doing any research? Are you getting any perks? Anybody that's that pushy, they got their own agenda.
Well, if you didn't need it, then why push it? Well, and I also think, and perhaps it's that part of it, but also it's part of the culture that many people ask their doctors for pain pills. Many people go into the doctors looking for ways that they don't feel pain in this society. So doctors respond to that as well.
Yeah, no, the human being in our country is part of is the culprit here too. You're right. It's a combination. What they call a dangerous relationship, what you can do about it is get educated to understand more about what is pain, how you can reverse it. Pain medications do not reverse the problem.
And back to the types of drugs that are on our markets that are dangerous to us, one of a very, very highly prescribed drug is Prozac.
Yes.
And let's talk about that for a second, Dr.
Prozac, 250,000 minimum attempted suicides. That's a huge catastrophe. 25,000 to 75,000 dead souls, a lot of them kids. And, do you know, there weren't any mass murders in the schools until those drugs were introduced, until that category of drugs was on the market.
There's one shooting at Columbine, there was Prozac being used. The shooting rampage at Red Lake High School.
Yes, for sure, Prozac at Red Lake. A Prozac-like drug in Columbine, Prozac at Red Lake, double, triple the dose that the kid... In other words, 2 weeks before the rampage, the dose was popped way up.
Mm.
It is a Prozac. You know, and if you're going to, let's say that kid would survive, he'd be in shackles, then you got to shackle some other people, too.
Mm.
You know.
Let me get to some of our callers here that have questions, Dr. Ingram.
Okay.
Christine, you have a question for Dr. Ingram.
Yes. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
I would like to know, is there any evidence out there that Aleve is just almost as dangerous as Vioxx?
Yes,
thanks for your question.
The evidence is that it's less dangerous than Vioxx.
It is what?
But
it is less dangerous than Vioxx?
Slightly less dangerous, mm-hmm. But still, it's causing strokes. Still, it's causing kidney failure.
And how does Aleve cause a stroke?
It's the same thing. Remember, it cuts out that enzyme, and then the body can't see the inflammation. It can't see the infection, so that blood congeals and it clogs up, and then that gets thrown to the brain, or it gets thrown to the heart, and then from the heart to the brain. You see, it's an enzyme poison. You see, and that's what Prozac is. It has a fluorine molecule. It's fluoride.
Well, how long does the effect of killing that enzyme stay in your system after you take it?
You can have a stroke 6 months to a year after quitting the Vioxx.
Well, what about Aleve?
Not quite as toxic, but still, a couple of months after you quit it, you could still throw a stroke.
Well, what would you recommend that someone do?
I'm going to recommend natural blood thinners, because it's a catastrophe. If you've been on Aleve or Celebrex or Vioxx, you could still have a stroke or a heart attack. You could look into what I mentioned and what I'm using very, very effectively, the material called Inflaease. You could do the papaya. You could get some bromazyme. The two best roto-rooters we have in the natural, as far as the pills that are totally natural, non-toxic, is something called bromazyme, which is bromelain papain, or this whole complex called Inflaease. Vitamin E is not effective enough, but the skins of red grapes are another blood thinner, not just, just taking and peeling the skins off. You can get a crude red sour grape in a capsule as well. I'll give a toll-free number to hunt that down. So there are things you can do, supplement-wise, that would thin the blood and prevent these people from stroking out.
Well, what's the amount?
No one's addressing the post-stroke syndrome and the post-heart attack syndrome.
Before we get to that, Dr. Ingram, what is the amount that people need to be concerned about that they have taken to direct themselves to the natural blood thinners? How much
I've
of the
been on this for 6 months. It's a serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
The dosage, if it's a low dose, it's not as serious as if you were taking quite a bit. But it's all risky business, these COX-2 inhibitors.
Let me get to another caller question here. Sandy, do you have a question for Dr. Ingram?
Yes, I'd like to, as quickly as I can, I'd like to ask him, is there something basic that he prescribes, something natural and basic that he prescribes for me? If I have trouble sometimes with being re-stimulated, if you will, about certain things that have bothered me in the past.
You mean in the brain?
Huh?
In terms of brain chemistry?
Well, I don't know, doctor, but I know I think there might be something natural, like a natural formula you might.
Well, what is your number one symptom? Number one thing that's bugging you?
I start to remember certain people that were around me at one time.
Oh, okay.
Except they're still here.
Yes, I would recommend you strengthen your adrenal glands. That's a sign of the
Doing what?
Well, I go for the royal oil. This is the supplement I use. I needed it because I'm traveling and I'm on tour and I'm constantly. So I use the royal oil for power, for mental and physical power. And it puts you over the edge on that.
Uh-huh.
If you can get this material and take a half a teaspoon twice a day, you see, we need to build your adrenal glands. You need to get the book, Natural Cures for Killer, Nutrition Tests.
Right, yeah, I do. But the royal oil, you think I can get that in a natural food store?
You get this and you want something called Royal Kick. You want them both.
Royal Kick and Royal Oil?
Yes. I don't know. You could try New Dawn. You could try Tongs. You could call that number, and they'll tell you where. I don't know. Where it is.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And we have to take another break. And I'm talking to Dr. Cass Ingram. He's joining us from Toronto, Canada. We're talking about the killer drugs that are on the market. Dr. Ingram is the author of about 15 books, one of them, How to Eat Right and Live Longer, and Nutrition Test for Better Health. And Dr. Ingram, is there a website that people can go to find some of your books and your information? Dr. Ingram?
They love my books. They show them. And also, the company is oreganol.com. Or, we were talking a little bit about spices, and oreganol.com.
Okay, and the website one more time, please.
Oregano with an L.com. The other, P73.net. P as in Paul.
P73.net. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Dr. Ingram. This is Liz Brown on the Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
Liz Brown is taking the day off today. She will be back on Monday, but you can tune in at 7 o'clock as Irene J. Smith fills in for Liz Brown. We will return with the best of the wake-up call following these messages right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Today's solutions can be found when you join Dave Lenahan online at WGNU.net.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics, to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
When things are at their worst, they're at their best. They are the first in and the last to leave. The American Red Cross is responding to the devastation of Hurricane Katrina with food, shelter, and water. They bring hope, too. But you know how the American Red Cross will respond. How will you? Help victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive T-shirt as a thank you.
Liz Brown is off today. However, we will have Irene J. Smith filling in for her beginning at 7 o'clock. Stick around for more of the best of the wake-up call coming right back at you right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. A couple of bookkeeping matters before I get back to our guest. Don't forget that the Willie Marshall campaign for mayor is seeking people that want to help remove Slay from office to volunteer on Saturday and Sunday to distribute campaign literature. They will be meeting promptly Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. at Legacy Books. That's right there at the corner of Del Mar and Union, 5261. Del Mar, that is the Willie Marshall campaign for mayor. The election, of course, is on Tuesday. Pay attention, be involved, and make some changes, folks. This morning I am talking to Dr. Cass Ingram. He's joining us from Toronto, Canada. We're talking about the return of the killer pills, of Vioxx, and many, many more. Dr. Ingram, welcome back.
Well, thanks a lot.
And let me get to one more caller here, and
sure.
Then we can close this out. Shirley, you have a question for Dr. Ingram.
Yes, Liz. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks ago, I had that virus. I'm 68.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it won't turn me loose, although I have asthma and bronchitis. But
yeah.
Now I'm stuck with this cough that annoys me at night. Especially
the miserable cough, huh?
Yes.
Like glue in your chest?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I can't seem to get rid of it. And
you can do it with the natural, you know.
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Yeah. You know, what you need to do is go to the Ma and Pa health food and get this P73
oil. Do we have one here?
Yes, we do. We have Golden Grocery. We also have right there in the Sears building.
Okay.
We have several, and I'll
okay.
give you their names.
Okay.
And you go get this P73 oregano, and you get this other. You want two things.
Okay, wait a minute, Dr. Ingram. We need to slow down just a little bit because she's having a tough time writing
right.
it down. So
okay.
go ahead and say that again.
Oregano with an L.
Oh, oregano with L. Okay.
Yeah.
L A.
P73. See if you can find the extra strength.
Okay.
And you want to get these pills. They're so effective for this miserable cough.
That's
called,
what I need.
Oregacin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it comes in a green-colored label. And those two will clear it right up.
I'm thank you, because maybe the Lord sent me to you.
I think so. There's got to be a reason for this show.
And Shirley, yes. A place where that you can go is Come Alive and More. That's in the old Sears building as well.
Okay, and thanks very much.
All right, you're more than welcome.
Bye-bye.
And again, Dr. Ingram, I want to talk about some heads up that people should have about other types of drugs.
Yeah.
I know you've named a few, but...
Well, we didn't say enough about Prozac, uh-huh. Zoloft, Paxil, and Xanax. They are causing sudden death, suicide, the definite violent death, and putting especially Prozac and Zoloft in this pack, so put the kids at risk to do violence. And, of course, Ritalin is also causing kids to turn violent against themselves, and that's a big conspiracy, the drug companies putting that into the school system to make a market for that.
Well,
it has nothing to do with need.
And I don't think
it has everything to do with a new market for the horrible people behind that.
And also, I think that many people did not know that, or do not know that, with regard to Ritalin, schools were told that they could make money with based upon the number of children they had on Ritalin.
This is the drug company corruption and fraud. And, you know, Ritalin is speed. It's basically a glorified, you know, who's the lowest scumbag in our minds, I don't want to be judgmental, on the streets? It's not the prostitute, it's the, you know, drug pusher, right?
The one that pushes the drugs to children.
You know,
yeah.
And so what does that tell you? If the superintendent,
What does that make the superintendent in other words?
You know, I would take arm to arm an army of love and surround the interest of the school and wait for that sucker to come up and say, hey, Buster, why are, you know, 3 out of 10 of the kids here on Ritalin? What's the deal?
And What other drugs? We have about three more minutes here. Some other drugs you have the problem
with prednisone causing internal bleeding and causing fungal infection and bone loss. You have the huge dilemma of the high blood pressure medicines causing diabetes. One of the biggest causes of diabetes is high blood pressure medicines. And vaccines. We've not talked about the Pope dying from a vaccine reaction, the kids getting autism from the mercury in the vaccines, and even leukemia and even lymphoma, that is cancer now, and even brain cancer. We're finding vaccine viruses in the brain. So I don't know that anything modern medicine has any science at this point.
And then if we're going to talk about here in the United States, talk about the fact that we preemptively struck Iraq and we've sent thousands of our soldiers there, well, they were also required to take vaccines, too.
They're in the gutter with their health. And you African-Americans, what in God's name are you doing fighting that war?
Well, actually, African-American, the stats for this particular war is that the people that they are being unable to recruit into the military and the great African-American community.
They got it figured out.
When they look at when people are asked about the question, remember, African-Americans, when they were in Vietnam War, didn't go voluntarily. They were drafted.
Yeah,
and our country drafted them.
But also, the Hispanics need to take a look at what in God's name they're doing fighting this kind of a war.
And let me get to one or two more callers here. We have another question. Damien, you have a question for Dr. Ingram.
Yes. My question is, does he know of any natural holistic alternatives to the immunization shots?
Yes.
Thanks for the question, Damien.
You build the immune. Now, is this for kids? We don't know. You build the immune system with high protein, plenty of citrus fruit, kiwi, and things that are high in vitamin C, vitamin A, in other words, some cod liver oil, and you don't need the vaccines whatsoever. If you do all that, you take rid of the sugar, rid of the white flour, and why not do? I was telling her to get the P73 oil, very effective, the P73 oil. Or there's something called Kitty Care gel caps. Just that one gel cap a day for any child over 4 years of age. One gel cap a day is better than an immunization.
And I can just throw out my own life experience. When I was growing up, breakfast was the biggest meal of the day for my family. And in addition to breakfast, we had a plate full of vitamin pills that we took. We took cod liver oil every day. We took all kinds of, you name the vitamin.
You sound healthy to me.
My father was the type of person that was doing that. And I never got sick a day in my life. I never had a cold.
God bless your father for what he did, and mother. And you're a good example of what the kids, what parents could do without shooting them up.
Exactly. And let me take another caller. Here. Caller, you have a question for Dr. Ingram.
Yes, ma'am. I would like to know, do he have some type of remedy for acute sinus?
Again, my book, The Cure is in the Cupboard, and the Natural Cures for Killer Germs deals exactly with you. We have found that the spice extract destroys the fungus that's in that area, and you get the relief. I told the little lady, you want this P73 oil and these oregano. I guess there's a store, Come Alive,
Come Alive and More.
Okay. You want those, you take it, you follow the book. And I'm going to give your audience a very good thing. There is a kit that I have called the Power Foods Kit. It's normally $100. Because it sounds like almost a public service radio station, but I'm going to offer that to the audience for $50. It has two books in it, 4 hours of cassette tapes, it's tons of stuff. And a video. If you want to get, don't buy it if you don't want, but if you want to get educated about using natural medicine or food as medicine, this is the kit for that. And the spice extracts. Now, to get that, you have to call only 800 for that. 1-800. You quote them the $50 plus your postage. 1-800-243-5242.
What's the name of the medicine?
It's the Power Foods Kit. It's the information kit.
And the medicine or the nutrients that you're talking about?
I was talking about this P73 that kills the fungus in the sinuses, oil of oregano, P73, and oregano. You need them both if you can find them.
Okay, caller?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Natural way to do it.
Thank you so much. And again, your
to be dispensing like flippantly, but I've done this for 20 years, so I know what works.
Again, your website, Dr. Ingram.
There's oreganol.com. There's p73.net. I hope that gives people enough information to make a decision for better health.
All right, Dr. Ingram, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call. Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown on the Wake Up Call. I will be back after this. Stay with me.
Stay tuned. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for Liz Brown, who is taking the day off today. We will return after the 7 o'clock hour with Irene J. Smith right here on the Wake Up Call.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM
dial. This is Jessica Yellen, and
ABC News has also learned that Karl Rove's attorney has been engaged in private, intense negotiations with the special prosecutor to help his client avoid criminal charges.
Rove reportedly just said he won't be indicted today, but remains under investigation. President Bush is expected to name another Supreme Court nominee within days now that Harriet Myers has pulled out of consideration to fill Sandra Day O'Connor's spot.
Although Justice Sandra Day O'Connor has promised to remain on the Supreme Court till her successor is confirmed, a number of conservative senators want quick action on a new nominee. They point out that the Supreme Court has agreed to hear arguments on several abortion-related cases, including a New Hampshire law that requires parental notification before a minor can get an abortion. And those arguments will come right after Thanksgiving.
ABC's Vic Ratner. You pay more at the gas pump and to heat your home this winter, and the oil companies rake in record profits. ExxonMobil made about $10 billion in the third quarter.
The oil companies have nothing to do with how gas prices are set. They actually have nothing to do with how barrels of oil is priced. Those prices are set by market forces.
ABC financial contributor Melody Hobson.
Unlike companies like Heinz that can decide how much to charge for a bottle of ketchup, or Kellogg that can decide how much to charge for a box of cereal, the oil companies do not set oil prices.
Still, some senators are asking the big oil companies to help those who can't afford to pay for utilities. This is ABC News.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
In heating, one thing stands alone.
That would be me, your Carrier furnace.
A Carrier Infinity furnace is the most energy efficient you can buy and can save up to 40% on energy bills versus previous models. Now that's hardworking.
Unlike your alarm clock, how hardworking could anything be with a snooze button?
Whether it's saving up to $1,100 with cool cash, our special financing, or saving on energy bills, the Infinity furnace is one hard worker. Carrier, turn to the experts. Limited time offer, restrictions apply. See participating dealer for details.
Tropical Storm Beta may become a Category 2 hurricane by the time it hits Nicaragua Sunday. It's the 23rd named storm of the season, which is supposed to end next month. It will end, won't it?
We can even have activity outside of the official hurricane season, you know, that normally ends on November 30th. Last year and even the year before that, we had storms go into December.
Stacey Stewart at the National Hurricane Center. Emily the cat went missing, and it wasn't the first time, so her owners went looking at the animal shelter in Appleton, Wisconsin. This time, Emily went prowling around a paper warehouse and ended up in a cargo container that went by ship across the Atlantic. It was trucked onto northeastern France. Employees at a lamination company there found the cat and checked her tags and called her vet in the U.S. He said Emily must have had some access to food and water during that three-week trip. He figures there must have been plenty of mice on that boat. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, the assets of a shuttered St. Louis area appliance chain are frozen after a St. Louis County court order. Judge Barbara Wallace signed the order yesterday, freezing the assets of Cohen Appliance, which closed its remaining two stores last Friday. A third store reportedly closed last month, and a fourth is believed to have closed its doors last year. Attorney General Jay Nixon says customers had no notice that Cohen was about to shut down. Nixon is asking the court to order Cohen Appliance to give customers their purchases or refund their money. A report from State Auditor Claire McCaskill is critical of the State Department of Social Services adoption program. The audit shows that Missouri children adopted in 2003 and 2004 had been in state custody for an average of over 30 months compared with a 24-month national standard. McCaskill blames the long waiting times in part on untimely court hearings and incomplete information in the department's computer system. She says other factors include the children's mental or behavior issues and unsuccessful attempts to place children with relatives. Reverend Larry Rice is calling upon local and federal officials to help with heating assistance this winter. That was the Reverend's message yesterday as he held an energy and job fair at the New Life Evangelistic Center. Rice says private agencies are doing what they can to help, but they can't do it on their own.
So we're calling upon the city of St. Louis to use the extra $1 million that they're going to make as a result of high utility bills, to use that money to help people with utility bills, to help provide shelter for people.
Rice also criticized Senator Kit Bond for voting no on raising energy assistance this winter from $2 billion to $5.1 billion, while at the same time voting for $3 billion for DirecTV assistance. Additionally, Rice asked why Senators Bond and Talent voted against raising the minimum wage at a time when natural gas costs are projected to jump at least 70%. St. Louis is reaching a milestone today with the 40th anniversary of the Gateway Arch. Chris Epting, a pop culture expert and author of Roadside Baseball, says the arch and other historical landmarks are special because of the memories they hold for the public. One of the most memorable events in the arch's history is when John Vincent parachuted down from the St. Louis landmark on September 14, 1991, during the morning rush hour. The New Orleans man was sentenced to probation for his stunt that brought him national attention. Finally this hour, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch is reporting Blues forward Keith Tkachuk will be sidelined indefinitely after an MRI showed he has three non-displaced cracked ribs. Tkachuk suffered the injury back on October 15th when he took the butt end of a stick to the midsection against Nashville. The power forward has missed the team's last four games and has played in only two contests this season without registering a point. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. The Ashley Furniture Home Store means big savings for you, like no interest and no payments for 1 year. Ashley Furniture Home Store in Kirkwood and South County. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Westbound 270 at West Forest and Washington Elizabeth. There's an accident. Two left lanes are blocked. Traffic jams approaching Belle Fountain Road. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit. There's road maintenance going on there. The ramp is blocked, and you can use the 11th Street exit to get around. Northbound 55 at Union and Potomac, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 at Chrysler and Lindbergh, everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh, look for very heavy volume. Northbound 270 at Sappington and 44, look for stop-and-go traffic in pockets. Westbound 255 at 55 and Coke, look for no problems reported there. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for a very heavy volume. Westbound 5570 split from 4th Street onto the PSB. You have slow traffic there. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge, it's slow as well. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Laclede's Landing, look for some stack up going on there across the bridge. Northbound Route 3, that ramp to Poplar Street Bridge, is starting to become stagnant a bit. So use caution as you roll up on those approaches. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, or even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Sunny today with a high in the lower 60s. This evening, look forward to clear skies with a low in the lower 40s. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Saturday evening, look forward to mostly clear skies with a low in the upper 40s. And Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 43 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 40, both under clear skies. Stay tuned now for another edition of the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown is off today, but we have Irene J. Smith filling in for her, and that comes up next right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Time now for another edition of the Morning Wake Up Call. Sitting in for Liz Brown again today is St. Louis Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. We remind you the views expressed on the program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. Please keep your calls informative and brief, as well as within the bounds of good taste. And now, the Morning Wake Up Call.
This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is not here today. So you got to take me instead. My, it's a little brisk out there. I mean, you look out and you see a little fog. Colors are coming in, a little slow in St. Louis among the trees. But we're here, and I'm going to be here with you for a couple of hours. And we're going to just move on and talk on this day, Friday, October the 28th. Where did October go? It's just about gone. I mean, man, we got another storm brewing in the Caribbean. I think they're calling it Beta. It's anticipated and has been forecast that it should not touch down in the U.S. of A. We hope not. We certainly have been ravaged by hurricanes this season. What in the world is going on in Washington? You know, one of our local papers calls it the Washington firestorm. You know, Myers bows out. Not this time. Get someone else, Mr. Bush. Of course, for many, her qualifications were seen as inadequate. And apparently, Sister Girl didn't make such a good impression on the senators that she came in contact with. It seems that they weren't very impressed with her. Then it's anticipated that the CIA leak, who's going to be indicted? Carl Rove say, definitely not me. However, according to leaks that have come out, you know how Washington is one big leak of information. Excuse me, that was a sneeze. It seems that perhaps one of Cheney's chief of staff, someone may be indicted. I guess we'll know today. As we were coming in, the news indicated that Karl Rove's attorneys were negotiating or talking face-to-face with the special prosecutor to prevent him from being indicted. But I guess sometime later on today, we will know exactly who will be indicted, who won't be indicted. And as many of you probably are anticipating, there will probably be other indictments that will follow. But one thing we must, I think, really commend the special prosecutor, because as you know, you remember the star days of special prosecutor, there were leaks to the press continuously. That seems not to have been the case with this special prosecutor. But again, you're with the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is not with us today, but will be back in the seat on Monday. Let's go to the phone lines at this time. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Here, I have an announcement concerning Medicaid and Medicare.
Go right ahead.
In which there's going to be a meeting at 8844 Natural Bridge at 11 o'clock to explain to people about the new law about Medicare and Medicaid. Now, they're going to have some sporadically in the county, but they're not having any in the city.
Okay.
And so it's
going to be... So why do you think that's happening?
Well...
But it's my understanding they have had some meetings in the city earlier on, I think about a month or so ago.
Okay. Well, my sister works for the state.
Okay.
And she informed us that... You know, in certain pockets in the county, they were going to have it, but they were not going to have special meetings like this in the city.
Well, they certainly should be. Again, why don't you give us that information again?
8944 Natural Bridge. It's right before you get to 170 if you're going west. On Natural Bridge.
You know what building it is?
Well, it's across the street from all that storefront, Hoods and the Dollar General, and right before that Quick Trip.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be across the street because I looked up the number of the address of Dollar General, and it was 8937, so it would be across the street. And in addition to that, I think they're supposed to be serving lunch, but... This is supposed to be an informative meeting because this new law, once you decide which one you're going to be involved in, whether it's Medicaid or Medicare, you're locked in.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be for the people concerned, if they can make it, it might be very informative for them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, James, so much. It's, because most of the people that are impacted, a lot of them may not even have transportation. So we're hopeful that when is it January 1? Is when it becomes effective? James, if you hung up, I was trying to ask you a question. But thanks again for calling in. And that is at 11 o'clock today at 8944 Natural Bridge. There will be a briefing on the new Medicare, Medicaid changes. And so if you are looking to receive information and you are able to get there at 8944 Natural Bridge at 11 p.m. today. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning.
You know, Alderwoman, the state Republican legislature has formed a committee that's supposed to report back, I believe, by the spring or summer of 2007 to liquidate the Medicaid system because it's one of the great tragedies of our lifetime, according to the right wing. But, you know, they're probably going to indict Libby and hope he gives Rove up. You know, if he's faced with jail time, why should he fall on his sword if Cheney and Rove were the perpetrators about getting it out? Get this out there. So this is mind-boggling. This is like the mafia running the country, really. And they didn't even get the vote of the people in 2000. They came to power through a corrupt Supreme Court decision, and they are still corrupt. It is a corrupt administration, hell-bent to repeal the Great Society, the New Deal, and the civil rights laws. They are after all of it. They are the closest to fascism we have ever come. They have no conscience. They have no shame. They have no heart. So anything that happens to them, I just hope, Alderwoman, that the Democratic Congress that will be elected a year from now, one of the first things they should do is bring to the floor impeachment of the president and of the vice president of the United States. Thank you very much, Alderwoman. Have a nice day and weekend.
You too. Well, now, that certainly was a mouthful. You know, we have a lot of, and I know Roosevelt Man is a staunch Democratic supporter, but it's very interesting that, you know, we wait in just glowing anticipation of what the Democrats might do. And thus far, as some little kids would say, I ain't impressed. I am not a bit impressed with the Democrats. To me, they have been too silent for too long. Not all, but most. And according to news reports, it is anticipated that the special prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, will extend the term of the present grand jury who are hearing these matters. So if that is the case, I think you can anticipate that there will be more indictments coming down relative to the CIA leak. So it's going to be unraveling today, at least so we are told from the leaks that are leaking out of Washington, that some things will leak out today. This is the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who will be back on Monday. I'm going to go to the phone lines at this time. Good morning.
Good morning, Sister Irene.
Oh, this sounds like a familiar voice, someone who didn't make their appointment yesterday. But I'll talk to you about that later.
Well, we was working.
Oh, well, you know what? That I like. I like to know that there is an alderman that is working. So yeah. What can you tell us about this morning?
Well, you know, I was listening to the Roosevelt Man, mm-hmm. and he talks about the Republicans being fascists and the Republicans being all these things. But Democrats were in power in this state for years, and they never did anything. Now, substantial. All the civil rights laws were really supported by more Republicans than Southern Democrats. So, I mean, what he's really saying is that the South is running the country, and the South would not have lost the Civil War, but now they've went into war for the hearts and the minds of white people. Because I don't see white people, labor unions, or nobody else opposing what Bush is doing. If you have the oil companies making 10, 20, 30, and $40 billion in profits, and poor white people don't find the need to do a coalition or form coalitions with black people and other minorities groups in order to seize the power and to change what's happening to them, it ain't about the little, quote, fascist billionaires and millionaires, because there's a whole lot more poor people than there are millionaires and billionaires and wealthy people and rich people. So the question is, what's wrong with the hearts and the minds of them white males in the state of Missouri that went and voted for Blunt? And what's wrong with the white males in the country that voted for the Bush and the administration and the Republican? So the problem is not Bush them. The problem is the white people and misguided black people that voted for Bush and that administration. I mean, how do you justify $10 billion profit when people can't even afford the heating oil or gasoline?
And it was interesting. I was listening to the commentary or supposedly the expert and saying, of course, that oil companies don't have any control and the price that is set for oil, yada, yada, yada. Well, then it would follow then that something's wrong, something's out of balance. I took basic econ. If the oil companies are making the type of money that was reported this morning that they are making, so something is wrong with the equation. And in any analysis, the general public comes in on the short end of the stick.
But, you know, but one thing that's real clear in this equation, and that is that the, quote, the oil producing countries are not getting that money.
So it has to fall then that who's the middleman? That's the oil companies.
Exactly. and the president is tied with the what? The oil companies.
The oil companies. So the middle isn't getting the squeeze. The low enders, that's us. We're getting the squeeze.
So my question is a false sense of superiority among the majority population that important to them that they're willing to sacrifice everything? You know, like, if you put the cost of oil and the cost of health care in the last 2 years, if you put that on the table and look at the raises that occurred in the average working household, it supersedes their income, the increase in their incomes over the last 2 years by five times.
No doubt.
There ain't no question. So, you know, it's got to be something wrong in their head.
Yeah. Well, I think people are going to get the fed up, but I'm going to try to get one more call in before the bottom of the hour. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
All right. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
All right.
I want to talk about is these people that complain about paying into Social Security and their taxes and all. I'd like to tell them this. I became housebound a year ago. I'm not able to get out. But all my life, I rode the bus to and from work. I never drove because I didn't have a license. I never wanted to drive. But all these years that I've been off from work, 15, I'm going to be 78 in December. And nobody has had to give me charity. Medicare pays 80% of my hospital. I pay 20%. I have never got back on my bills. I paid my rent, my utilities, my phone. And I thank God that the government has put these things out there for us to take advantage of. Because I'll tell you what, it sure saved my life.
You're entitled to every bit of what you get.
That's right.
You're entitled to what you get.
And I'm so grateful that I lived to to be able to take a 15-year vacation, and that's what it's been to me, a vacation. I've never been short of cash or done without anything that I wanted. And if it wasn't for the USA, it wouldn't be today. Right?
If it wasn't for the individuals in the USA, which make up this country, you're absolutely right. But you're entitled to the Social Security that you received, and anybody that wants to complain about it, let them complain.
Well, the way I look at it, these people that complain about having to pay extra for gas, why don't they ride together, make a pool? Then it wouldn't cost them that much.
That's true, but the fact of the matter still is the gas companies are making unprecedented profits, and that needs to be looked into.
Yeah, but what can we do about it?
Well, if we take that attitude, nothing, but we need to raise the roof, and we need to contact our congressmen continuously to complain about it and make them aware. I mean, they are aware, but let them know that it is hurting, and it is hurting a lot of people, high gas prices. And I just hate to see, I think natural gas prices will go up November the 1st.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to have a tremendous impact on people. In fact, a lot of people are homeless simply because they cannot pay their utility bills. And if you can't pay your utility bills, then the landlord doesn't want you there. Dear, I'm going to have to move along. We're at the bottom of the hour, but thanks very much
for talking to me.
Oh,
bye.
No problem.
Wonderful day.
You too. Thanks for calling in. This is the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who will be back with you on Monday. We're going to go to the bottom, so just a little break. Just so stay tuned. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 270 between West Florissant and Washington Elizabeth. That accident's been cleared, but traffic jams near Riverview. There's also has Dunrone jam just west from West Florissant all the way into New Florissant. Eastbound 40 at Hampton and Kings Highway, there's an object on the roadway. Appears to be some kind of wood debris. Northbound 55 between Bayless and Gravois, no problems to report there. Eastbound 44 between Lewis and Merrimack River Bridge, everything is on the move. Eastbound 40 from 270 to Hanley, traffic is lighter than normal this hour. Northbound 270 from Gravois to 44, stop and go, heavy again then from Doherty Ferry all the way into Manchester. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 5570 split from Kingbridge split all the way onto the PSB, it is slow. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge, look for no problems or report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into Laclede's Landing, look for slow traffic. And northbound Route 3 onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge, everything is on the move. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those at your local Toyota dealer that know your vehicle best for convenient service and competitive prices. Oil changes, tires, batteries, and brakes, they do it all. That's moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Sunny skies today, high in the lower 60s. This evening clear with a low in the lower 40s. Saturday mostly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 40s. And Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 43 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Fields reporting 41. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning wake-up call. Liz Brown is on taking the day off. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
It's the award-winning wake-up call. Today being guest hosted by First Ward Alderwoman Irene J. Smith.
Just a little touch of evidence by Mustin Marcellus. Oh yeah, he loves the monk. Yes, he does. All right, this is the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who will be back with you on Monday. I'm gonna go right to the phone lines. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Smith back in the hot seat.
Boy, you never know when you're going to be in the seat.
You do what you got to do. You know, the lady, the senior that just called previous to the news?
Uh-huh.
I'm so glad that she feels the way she does. But tell her to tighten her seatbelt.
Yeah.
Because she ain't going to be bragging about that 20%. I only paid 20%. It's going to Medicare getting ready to teach her a lesson. You know, I agree with Charles Quincy Troop about the increase in the profit.
Mm-hmm.
BP alone. In the Wall Street Journal, $97 million, up 46%.
Mm. Mm? You know what? Their profits are up 46%, and it's, the price that we pay for gas has been up a very high percent, 46, 50. It's anticipated that we will pay an increase of, what, 60% for gas heating fuel this winter?
Well, they said the other day they said 40%. They have been saying 60%.
Well, it's just to give you
it's going up.
It's to insulate you from the shock that you are going to get when you get that bill.
Uh huh.
You know, so hey, I can remember when we had a wood burning stove in my grandmother's kitchen on Sheridan Avenue. And you had an oil stove up in the front of the house, but baby, you was trying to beat it back to that kitchen.
Yeah.
And so we did just about everything in the kitchen, and especially we was living in one of Bruni's raggedy houses. And so when you went to the restroom, you just you wore your coat.
They're giving out wood in Forest Park today.
All right.
Even though Medicare and Medicaid is essentially on the same road in Missouri because of the man boy blunt, your choice is probably better to stick with Medicare.
Yes.
You know, because we know the compassion that blunt has. Have a good day, Dr. Smith.
All right. Thank you for calling in. Be safe out there.
Thank you.
All right. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who will be back with you on Monday. I'm going to go to the phone lines at this time. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Irene. How are you?
I'm very good.
Excellent, excellent. You know, there was a billboard in Los Angeles. I don't know if you saw it on the news, where this rap singer named 50 Cent, I think is his name, it's a big billboard, and he's got his back turned with both arms extended. One of his hands has a 9mm. The other hand has a microphone, and it says something to the effect on the billboard, die or get rich, or get rich or die, something to that effect. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because there were a lot of black folks, women, men, old, young, that were protesting the fact that I don't know which movie producer, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, or which one put this billboard up in a black community right next to an elementary school. And they were protesting the fact that the negative message that it would send to the kids, being that they had this billboard right next to a school in a community, and I just wanted to bring it up just to get your opinion on that. And the other thing is that it just seems to me that when you hear somebody, let's say, attack gangster rap, now nobody's saying that a Nelly or some of the other rap people are always talking the vile, and some of the music, I don't even know if you call it music, because it's more like poetry, or it's like talking with music behind it. It's not like a Teddy Pendergrass or George Benson. It's a different type of music. And I just think that when you look at the kids, even in my neighborhood, that walk around, that aren't in school, holding their pants up, walking around like mindless zombies with no sense of direction, and the parents don't seem to be putting forth.
Let me say this. My daughter just graduated from Tennessee State.
Excellent.
Okay, so I was on the college campus at Tennessee State and Fizz, and guess what? All those young men that were getting their degree and looked very beautiful and graduated, guess what they were doing? They were walking around holding their pants up too. So,
I'm not saying it's totally negative, but I just think that,
I mean, I don't particularly like it, you know, and I'm sure that my mother didn't particularly like it when I had a big fro and it was nappy because I have kinky hair back in the 70s. So it's interesting, you know, and I try to engage young people in discussing, you know, why are you wearing your pants like that? If you start running, you're going to trip.
Right.
You know, why are you wearing, as my neighborhood grandmother, Miss Grant, calls those tall tees, why are they wearing those gowns? But, I mean, they are wearing them, and lot of good kids.
No, I know, but I almost get the impression, I'm not saying in your case because you're pretty fair, that it's taboo to bring up the wrong things, and you automatically retaliate with the positives, but it's as though we don't want to address things that really should be addressed, because if you walk up to one of these fellas that's got a car with the 21-inch wheels, and there's a family that just got out of church on Sunday, and he's got his boombox turned up with gangster rap, saying all the verbal profanity and the graphic vile sexuality of it, and there's a family that just got out of church with the grandma and grandpa, and you ask one of them people, why would you do that? And do you think it's right to impose that on a family that just got out of church,
well,
and you forcing your vile on people that don't want to hear it?
I
think these things should be addressed.
Let me say this. I don't care for the vulgarity, and I'm going to tell you, I guess I'm a little forward. Most of the time, I will roll my window down, and if I can get their attention, most of the time, not all the time, every now and then I might get a little finger, but most of the time they will comply and turn it down. For the most part, I don't even think they even think about it, that it is offensive to other people.
Grandmother or their mother.
Hold
your
on
sister.
A second. I want to get to what you just though. You said, you know, they're riding out street. Here comes somebody out of church.
Listening at that.
And I think part of the problem is, We say, you know, people that go to church are decent folk, and I take issue with that because not everyone that goes to church are decent folk.
I agree.
You know, and it's good to go and hear the word, to hear a good message. But I think we have to take responsibility as a community and as adults for what has gone on in our community. So some of the blame, if there is something wrong with what our young people are doing, then it's certainly, part of the blame certainly lays at our feet.
Well, what do we do to correct it, would you say, if you had the power?
If I had the power, first of all, I think that there has to be a little bit of individuality in terms of what is music, because what is music to you may not be music to someone else, okay? And a lot of people talk about the music from the 60s and the 70s, and that was really music.
To me, it was too.
And I mean, that was what people say. I'm just saying what people say.
Right.
But there is a lot of rap music that I listen to. I don't like the vulgarity. I don't like degrading music. One of the things that I would do is I would try to engage them. I don't think that we've done a very good job of providing a nurturing environment for our children. For an example, we allowed, when Vince Shamer was the mayor of this city, we allowed him to dismantle the recreational programs that provided a lot of structured activities for our youth.
You mean like midnight basketball?
No, I'm not talking about midnight basketball. Midnight basketball, although there were some problems with midnight basketball, in total fairness, midnight basketball did more than just the kids that were involved in that did more than just play basketball. Some of them got job training. Some of them ran into men who mentored them and changed their lives.
Right.
They got away from a life of street activity, gang activity. So there were some good things about midnight basketball that was not publicized in the press.
Right.
But some of this has to lay at our feet. In addition to that, I would make sure that our young people got an opportunity to get a good education, a good public education, which right now we are witnessing the dismantling of public education, along with Vince Shamel, as he dismantled public health, he is now dismantling public education as we sit here and speak. So, brother, that's a long conversation.
Well, I'm
glad
you
brought
it up because I thought it's important to bring it up.
Because, I understand, and it is
important.
We
should always challenge like you do, and I think those that don't challenge are cowardly, and you shouldn't be scared that one of these guys is going to shoot you or beat you up because you question them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's true. Thank you. Well, you know what? Time just does fly. We're right at a break time. This is the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who will be back with you on Monday. And we're listening to a little bit of here and there of Winston Marsalis. Thank you.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
The St. Louis Art Museum at One Fine Arts Drive in Forest Park presents Golden Treasures for children ages 4 to 6. This program takes place from 10:30 to noon on Saturday, October 29th. Children accompanied by adults can combine a visit to the gallery with art making. No experience necessary and all materials are provided. Cost is $12 per person, $10 for museum members. To register, visit www.slam.org or call 314-655-5298. Something for artists from WGNU.
Did you know that you can have the Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System installed by United Homecraft and eliminate gutter cleaning forever? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is Leaf Blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The Leaf Blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United United Homecraft today for a free no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System from United Homecraft, one of St. Louis's oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the ITEX Trade Exchange. Your ITEX trade dollars are welcome.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year. A simple answer to rebuilding the Gulf Coast is to trim waste out of the defense budget. But why is Congress afraid to touch the military? Because no one wants to be seen as weak on defense. Monday morning at 7, Lawrence Korb from the Center of Defense Information joins us on the wake-up call with a new report that shows up to $60 billion could be cut out of the $440 billion defense budget without harming a thing. Now, it may not be enough to do the whole job, but it is a great starting point to help Louisiana and Mississippi get back on the road to recovery. We'll look at some other defense programs that could be dropped because they're simply outdated. That's coming up Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning wake-up call. Listening to the award-winning wake-up call with guest host, First Ward Alderwoman Irene J. Smith.
It's very clear our love is here to stay. Not for years, but ever and a day.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
The radio.
Ooh, a little Nat King Cole. Our love is here to stay.
The movies that we know.
Ah, just simply beautiful.
May just be passing fancies. And in time may go, but oh, my dear.
All right. All right. Ooh, Nat King Cole. Beautiful. This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. The First Ward Alderman is Charles Quincy Troop, and no longer Irene J. Smith. Ooh, and am I glad. Let me go to the phone lines. This call has been holding for a little while. Good morning.
Good morning, Sister Irene. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right this morning.
You're doing good.
Yeah, I thank you for giving me this opportunity. And I, too, have seen, you know, this advertisement of, you know, rapper 50 Cent, you know.
His movie, it's a movie.
Know, Get Rich or Die Trying. Now, what I'm interested in and, you know, hoping, you know, people understand is messages that are being conveyed.
Right.
Now, you know, Get Rich or Die Trying.
Mm.
Now, what we need to understand about something like that is, and, you know, like Brother Malcolm, you know, once said, you know, is this a political ploy, or is this, you know, something that people need to look at, you know, in ordinary life? And what I mean by that is, what are you going to get rich doing, or what are you going to die trying at?
Oh, right.
And that's the whole problem right there. You know, if it's something that's worth dying for, it should be a commitment made and not, you know, something that's going to just give you a temporary a position and a solution that's not a long-term solution at all.
Mm.
If you're going to die trying, or if you're going to get rich and die trying, what is the consequence of, you know, your actions, or, you know, what is it going to lead to in you trying to, you know, get rich?
That's right. I mean, getting rich, I mean, for some folks, you know, getting rich is being put in a position where they can get every kind of little trinket and material trapping that they want. For others, you know, I don't consider myself to be very materialistic. You know, if I got rich, I think we might see a whole lot of social justice.
Exactly. And what I'm saying is, you know, we just can't fall for another trick.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, we might, you know, a youngster might think, well, you know, if I can just sell this drug, I can get rich. Or if I can just pimp this woman, I can get rich. Those are not solutions to the problems that
right.
we deal with and what we got to deal with in this nation.
Mm-hmm. How do you tie it into what, you know, Motorcycle Man was saying, and I think his point is very well taken, is that that we are up in arms about situations that, such as a billboard that had something that was not a good message for young people.
Well, once again, that's the core of the problem right there,
mm-hmm.
and you know, lies the solution. We cannot, you know, attack, you know, one another on our individualisms or our individuality when it comes to dress or when it comes to music, you know, sort of things like that. Because, you know, you remember Woodstock and how a lot of
mm-hmm.
people thought that was really controversial at that time. You know, but the messages that are being conveyed in music or the messages that are being conveyed in dress or, you know, those types of situations, that's what we need to analyze, and that's what we need to attack, you know, on. I don't advocate anybody, you know, and another thing that Motorcycle Man said before he skipped away like he did was that don't be afraid to say something to someone, you know, about, you know, what they're doing and everything, because, you know, they might shoot you or whatever. Well, I don't completely agree with that either, because, mm-hmm. you know, you have to have a certain...
Yeah, you gotta have a certain understanding. You know, it's like people will tell me, Irene, you could talk. I mean, I can talk to just about anyone, and I talk to a lot of these young people. You know, I'll be at the gas station, and the boxes, the boom, the boom, and you know, the F you this and this, that, and the other, and I just simply walk over, and you know, I'll treat them very respectful, the way that I would want to be treated. You know, I don't holler and scream at them, you know, and I just simply ask them. And in most of the time, the young people comply. And then some of them later will remember me, and they'll see that, man, turn on the music. Oh, that's Miss Smith. Just turn it down, man, until
mm-hmm.
we get off the lot.
But at the same time, if one of them tell you, well, get the hell on away from me, I don't want to hear
and,
that.
And you know what?
And, whatever,
and
you
I know how to handle that, too.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to, it's not going to escalate. You know, everybody can't do that, and I understand.
Exactly. But you know, Irene, in this war, and that's what it is, you know, that we're waging, you know, in this war, we're going to lose some people.
That's right. And I mean, that's absolutely true. We are going to lose some people. But I think sometimes you made a statement about us not attacking each other, and it's not, you know, one of the things I say to young people, particularly those who are out there making the money, when you thrust yourself into what I call the vortex of the public view. And I take that statement from a case, I think it was Sullivan versus New York Times. You take the good, the bitter with the sweet. Just as you want to be very well publicized, just as you want people to know all about your music, because as a result of them knowing about your music, people buy your music, well, then you're going to be subject to criticism.
Yes, it is.
And it's a message.
And like Charles Quincy True, Alderman True was stating, you know, before he went off. And lo and behold, right after he said what he said, there was this little old white lady came on right after him, and she was talking about how things were, you know, you know, and it's nothing we can do. You remember her saying
I
that?
I remember
it's
that. That's what I said. We can do something.
Yeah,
they want us
right.
to feel powerless.
And see, that's what Charles Quincy Drew was conveying in his message to us, that why are these white people poor like they are, and some of them, you know, like they believe that, you know, some of these people, you know, forgive them for they know not what they do.
It's psychological, and it may be, as he indicated, this sense of superiority. You know, you look at the people down in the Boot Hill that voted for Blunt, and we had a young woman that said, Irene, these houses, some of the houses were being held up by saran wrap.
Yeah.
But yet they supported
and
Blunt.
What message are they conveying to these people to get them to want to vote for this madness?
I think it goes much deeper than the message. I think it's psychological. That's a long discussion, brother. We're nearing the top of the hour. Thank you for calling in. It's been good talking with you.
Yes.
This is the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, and in the background, that is none other than Nat King Cole. We'll be back with you after the news. Stay tuned.
In time, the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay. But our love is here to stay.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Libby, maybe yes. Rove, maybe no. ABC News has learned Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald is likely to indict Vice President Cheney's aide Scooter Libby in the CIA leak case. Associates of the president's top aide say Karl Rove has been told he won't be indicted today, but the investigation continues.
Mr. Rove, what's your mood today?
I'm going to have a great Friday and a fantastic weekend. We'll see you too.
Rove leaving his house a little while ago in a good mood, but this potential outcome could be the worst of both worlds for the White House.
In some ways, the worst world for the White House is if someone like Scooter Libby is indicted, but Fitzgerald also says, I am keeping the investigation open either with a new grand jury or if he finds some ways to extend this one. That could keep the entire White House under pressure, facing the prospect of public testimony in a trial.
ABC's George Stephanopoulos. Who's next? President Bush isn't expected to wait long before announcing his next choice for the Supreme Court a day after Harriet Meyer's nomination was withdrawn. ABC's Luis Schiavone looks ahead.
President Bush needs to make this next nomination stick. Having tried with a candidate without judicial experience and failed, the White House won't take any chances. There will still be an effort to appoint a woman or minority. The previous list of candidates stands, including two on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, Judge Edith Jones and Judge Edith Clement, as well as Karen Williams on the Fourth Circuit and Justice Maura Corrigan of the Michigan Supreme Court. No word on timing. Luis Schiavone, ABC News at the White House.
Some oil companies made record profits in the third quarter, almost $10 billion for ExxonMobil. Yes, you're paying a lot at the pump, but ABC's Melody Hobson tells us
oil has actually gone up less quickly than overall inflation. It hasn't even kept pace with inflation. More recently, we've seen an oil bubble, which has allowed the oil companies to make a lot more money. But again, they are not the ones setting those prices.
This is ABC News.
Top three things I love about my new sconces. Well, number three, they can instantly go from dramatic to moody, unlike me, of course. Number two, they're a little modern and a little Mediterranean, and that's totally what I'm into. But the number one thing I love, the price.
Come to the Home Depot now through November 9th and get 20 to 30% off select lighting and ceiling fan styles. For details, visit homedepot.com or the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid in U.S. only.
Travelocity presents The Roaming Gnome, denouncer of travel myths. First myth, if you fly for the holidays, you can't afford a trip next year.
Pish! With Travelocity, you'll get a great holiday fare plus up to $100 off your next vacation.
Myth too. Most people put off holiday shopping till the last minute.
Not me. I finished my shopping in 1975. Hope you like pet rocks.
Book a holiday flight with your MasterCard card and get up to $100 off next year's vacation. Restrictions apply. Travelocity.com/holiday for details. Travelocity. You'll never roam alone.
Civil rights pioneer Rosa Parks is being honored in a special way in the days after her death. ABC's Jim Hickey has the story.
As Rosa Parks was eulogized at a memorial service in Atlanta, plans are being made to have her lie in honor in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol, the first woman to ever have such an honor. Civil rights leader Joseph Lowery says the country has a commitment.
Never let her memory die, and never let the movement die.
In Detroit, where Rosa Parks died, and in Montgomery, Alabama, where it all began, the first seats of public buses are being reserved in her memory. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
And an Oregon woman who bought a winning lottery ticket could wind up with little more than time in prison. She allegedly used a stolen credit card to buy the ticket worth $1 million. She's facing theft and other charges. Police say she swiped the card from a dead relative. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a bill that would mean the end of the Alton Bell and the Casino Queen has the approval of the Illinois House. The State House passed a bill yesterday that would ban riverboat gambling in Illinois. Supporters of the bill say it could mean the beginning of a new gaming system in the state. Opponents say Illinois cannot afford to lose the more than $1 billion the state's 9 gaming boats bring in every year. The riverboat gaming ban now goes to the state Senate, where it's considered likely to die without a vote. The recommendations of the Base Realignment and Closure Commission are one step closer to becoming official policy. The House turned down a proposal yesterday that would have rejected the findings from the BRAC Commission. Several states, including Missouri, have filed legal challenges to the recommendations to close or relocate military installations. Among those slated for closure in Missouri are the 131st Fighter Wing at Lambert Airport and the Defense Finance and Accounting Services in St. Louis and Kansas City. The state of Missouri is kicking off an initiative designed to prevent financial exploitation of the elderly and disabled. State officials and the Department of Health and Senior Services unveiled the program called MoSafe, which stands for Missourian Stopping Adult Financial Exploitation. Cherise Pappas, the Public Information Coordinator for the Department of Health and Senior Services, explains how this program helps stop financial exploitation.
A person who goes to the bank may be going there with someone who may want to financially exploit them. And so if banks and credit unions are aware of this problem and what some of the warning signs are that can indicate financial exploitation, then that's the first step in helping to stop this crime.
MoSafe offers a training kit to help the state's financial institutions to teach their employees to recognize the warning signs of financial abuse. Of the nearly 16,000 calls to the Department of Health and Senior Services Elderly Abuse and Neglect Hotline, nearly 15% of those calls were for financial exploitation. Chris Epting says the new Busch Stadium will be good for St. Louis. Epting is an author and pop culture expert who is on a mission to save landmarks. Epting says the original Busch Stadium revived downtown St. Louis, and we can expect the new stadium to also enhance the area. Epting is currently working with a program by Hampton Hotels called Save a Landmark. The Busch Stadium demolition is scheduled for the week of November 7th. Finally this hour, the Rams will likely be without 3 of their top playmakers on offense when they host the Jaguars on Sunday. Wide receiver Torrey Holt remains doubtful on the team's injury report, while wideout Isaac Bruce and quarterback Mark Bulger were both downgraded to doubtful yesterday. The status of defensive end Leonard Little is still uncertain as well, as he remains out of town coping with the death of his younger brother. The Rams are coming off a win over New Orleans last week that raised their record to 3-4, but they still trail Seattle by 2 games in the NFC West. The Rams and Jaguars kick off at noon on Sunday, while the Seahawks enjoy the week off.
This WGNU news report is brought to you by Southwest Airlines. Fly to Fort Myers, Naples from St. Louis on one of Southwest Airlines' three new daily flights. Whether you're flying for business or pleasure, Southwest can get you there. Visit southwest.com today. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Air National Guard. Westbound 270 between Riverview and West Florissant, look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Northbound 270 at Ladue, look for an accident on right shoulder of the exit ramp, and it is blocked. Traffic is slow approaching 40. Eastbound 44 Grand, there's an accident reported. Northbound 55 between River DePere and Lafayette, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge, all the way into 270, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Big Bend, no problems to report there. Northbound 270 from Gravoid to 44, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 between K and 79, you've got normal traffic in your 8 a.m. commute. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, it is slow, as well as westbound 5570 from 64 onto the PSB. You've got stop-and-go traffic there. Westbound 64 at 15th Street all the way to the 5570 split, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing, it is a slow go across the Kingbridge. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. That ramp looks pretty good this hour. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Air National Guard. Guarding America and defending freedom, that's what the Air National Guard is all about. Don't just sit there on the sidelines. Join the Air National Guard. Find out more at goang.com. That's goang.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Great weekend. Sunny skies today with a high in the lower 60s. This evening, clear with a low in the lower 40s. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 60s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 40s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy or partly cloudy skies with a high around 70. Currently in the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies and 43 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clear skies and 41. Liz Brown is off today. However, we have Beaumont graduate Irene J. Smith filling in for her. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
A simple answer to rebuilding the Gulf Coast is to trim waste out of the defense budget. But why is Congress afraid to touch the military? Because no one wants to be seen as weak on defense. Monday morning at 7, Lawrence Korb from the Center of Defense Information joins us on the wake-up call with a new report that shows up to $60 billion could be cut out of the $440 billion defense budget without harming a thing. Now, it may not be enough to do the whole job, but it is a great starting point to help Louisiana and Mississippi get back on the road to recovery. We'll look at some other defense programs that could be dropped because they're simply outdated. That's coming up Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call, today being guest-hosted by First Ward Alderwoman Irene J. Smith.
Unforgettable, that's what you are. Unforgettable, though near or far, like a song of love that clings to me.
All right. Nat King Cole. You know, modern technology, and I wish I had it with me, but modern technology has allowed Nat King Cole and Natalie to sing that song together, and it is just simply awesome. Yeah, this is some of the music that I grew up hearing, even though I was a babe when my family members would be playing it. But I grew up listening to a lot of Nat King Cole, and my, I have an aunt that just loves Billie Holiday and Dinah Washington. Ooh, I have an aunt. My aunt, Lorena, of course we call her baby sister. Man, she used to play this one tune that the name of it escapes me right now. But she would play it over and over again. But we liked it. We loved it. And it's just so important that we take the time to expose our children to as many different types of music as we can, to have an appreciation of not only their culture, but an appreciation for the cultures of others. And I really think, there we go, we got it. We're going to get a little of Nat King Cole and Nellie Cole.
Unforgettable, that's what you are.
Unforgettable.
All right.
Though near or far.
Woo. All right.
Like a song of love that clings to me, how the thought of you does things to me. Never.
Boy, you see. You see what's going on up in here at WGNU. You never know. You just ask for it and it appears. That's what happens when you are surrounded by music lovers, and our engineer is a fantastic musician, and so he pulled it out of his bag. I hope you enjoyed that. We've got Brother Malik who's been holding for a moment, so we're going to go to the phone lines and talk with him. Good morning, Brother. How are you?
Well, Sister Irene. How are you?
I am feeling very well, though I am a little tired this morning. I was up late.
Oh, yeah, well, that makes sense. You know, just listening to that, now, I was a grown man then. Just listen to the beauty of that music and comparing it with the filth of today. There is really no comparison morally with Nat Cole and the hopscotch and all of that crap that you got now. Decaying music. A lot of these people out here don't even remember Nat or Natalie. And I'm going to say this. That's the same way the society is. There are three ways to go in life. You progress, or you regress, or you decay. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that.
All right, now. If a man is born blind and another man is born with sight, they are not alike, are they?
One has sight and one is sightless.
Yeah, so they're not alike, are they? They're opposites. Let's take that and mentally, you know, think on what I'm saying. One cannot see, so he does not know anything about seeing. Therefore, he does not enjoy the beauty or the discord in the world. The one with sight sees both. The blind have to be guided by the person with the sight. And that's been the trouble with the so-called Negro right now. He has been guided by one with sight, but who didn't have his best interest at heart. So he's led him on a dangerous street, right out in the front of traffic where it's heavy. And I'm saying that, you know, wait, it's allegorically, where if you get it. The Negro has been born blind, so he feels it now. He's progressed. He's still blind, deaf and dumb. Anytime you think, after all these years, that politics is going to get it, all religion is going to get it, you got another thought coming. Only the divine will get it.
Now that's I certainly fully agree with that.
With no morals, suppose we did win and the white man said, well, you can have it. Look, I mistreated you, and he admitted that and gave it to you in the shape you're in now. Would you keep it? how good you are, you still would be blind. You speak an English tongue. You do everything English, but nothing of yours. So you can't be respected like other nations. And I will say this and not take up a little, no more of your time. It would pay the black man and woman to get on the path now of love and kind treatment one to the other, not falsely, but from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Those people in the 50s and the 40s, you know, you were just a little girl, but you could feel the love in the homes, and you don't see that now.
Yeah.
That's dead. So why can politics bring this back?
Oh, no, politics cannot bring it back.
Can religion bring it back? No. Religion is still in existence, and it's decaying. Even the people in the churches were better then. I mean, you know, I don't condemn the people that went to church. I don't condemn them at all. There were some good people there.
Of course.
I condemn the times that we're living in now. This is a time of the end of one civilization and the start of another, but you have to be ready, Sister Irene. So just being black now is not going to get it. Our color alone is not going to get it. It's our mentality. You can be black with any color mentality. You can have a Chinese mentality. And that's what counts. So I just like to say that to our people, wake up and smell the coffee. Don't be deluded by these politicians or this society saying we're going to get better when Hurricane Katrina, all the rest of them are striking it. This is actually the end of one system and the beginning of another. Have a good day, sister.
All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who will be back with you in the seat on Monday. Well, as we indicated earlier, as was talked about yesterday, the Myers nomination just hit a wall. And who of you remember Larry D. Thompson? Well, Larry D. Thompson, according to speculations that have been in the media, Larry D. Thompson is a African-American who was born in Hannibal, Missouri, maybe up there with some of my relatives. And he was part of the legal team during the Clarence Thomas Supreme Court confirmation hearings for Clarence Thomas, and it's anticipated that he's on that list. It's interesting when you consider, I think, that the two women that are being considered, Edith Brown Clement and Edith Ann Jones, we have two Edith that are being considered. Accordingly, one has said, that's Edith Jones has said, that the court needs to reevaluate Roe v. Wade. And then the other, we have perhaps with the other Edith Brown Clement, we have someone who folk don't really know a whole lot about, and her political beliefs are not well known. Certain people of the religious right or conservative right may not find that too settling. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, many are saying that the nominee will be a man and it won't be a woman. Some are saying that it's going to be a so-called minority, an African-American, I guess, or a Hispanic. So we will see. Have any news breaks come in on who's been indicted? You know, they're a little ahead of us in Washington time-wise. But I guess we'll know before 12 noon today who is being indicted. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, fairly fine. I was calling because something I watched on one of these cable programs this week here, disturbed me. And it's not that I don't believe in, you know, the Constitution, the First and 14th Amendment, but the name of the show was Noah's Ark. Are you familiar with that?
I don't watch television a whole lot.
You know, I was at a friend's house and she was skipping through channels and this thing comes on. But it's a a situation where homosexuals make out, and they had African American actors in it.
That's on television?
Yeah, cable.
Okay.
Just what station, I don't know. It was the first and last time, you know, even getting to view it like I did. But I found it disturbing when, in today's society, we're so impressionable, especially the young people. And it's so easy, as one of your callers earlier mentioned, get rich or die trying, that you put these impressions on these people that have no real consciousness of where they people really came from. Not all of them, but quite a few. You can tell that by the way they sag with their pants and et cetera, and the way they use the N-word. I mean, you know, that disturbed me. It's basically entertainment for, I guess, someone that's not heterosexual. But at the same time, I find it being disturbed because, again, too many negative messages are being sent to our community. And you know,
let me ask you this, brother. When you saw this on television, did you contact the cable station and complain about it?
No, I didn't.
I think you should do that because
you know what? I am going to take you up on that.
Because I think you found it. You know, you thought it was
highly inappropriate.
Highly inappropriate.
Considering today's.
And what time? What time of day was it?
This had to be about 9 p.m. But considering, you know, the AIDS epidemic and all these sexual transmitted diseases, here they glamorize in this stuff. They're using African-American men to do so. I don't know if they were that way or if they were just actors, but the point being is there's so many negative messages out here. So subliminally, one might not even determine what their gender is.
There's a tremendous price sometimes that is paid for us having the First Amendment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, brother, I got a full board. I'm going to move on, but I would suggest.
I thought I expressed my thoughts.
I'm glad you did, and I would suggest also that you call the station and once you can find out what station it was and let your feelings be known.
Yes, ma'am, I shall.
All right, you have a good day, okay?
You too.
All right, we're going to go to the car farm. Good morning.
Good morning. You talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
Thank you for talking to me. Well, I was just calling in just to say something good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody calling in being negative about what they don't appreciate. Well, hold on. I'm not going to get deep on you.
Okay, don't get deep on me.
What I am going to say, though, is why do people look at who the person is sometimes and go by their reputation, what they think their reputation is, even they, like when this guy named this movie, right? I can tell you a few movies that got some weird names to them. You go, wait, what kind of crap is that? Indecent Proposal and things like that. Then this guy called in about he's seen gay people on TV and all that kind of stuff. Everybody called in about something that's driving them nuts. What's making you feel good?
Come on. You told us you was going to tell us.
What about the little boy going to school with his pants hanging down, but he's still getting his education? What about him?
That's why I pointed that out.
What about the guy in the store when the lady dropped a $20 bill, instead of him picking up, grabbing it, he told her. He said, man, you just dropped some money right there. What about him? You know what I'm saying? He's going, well, we talking about this get rich or die trying. Well, what kind of message is that?
Hold up, Carfon. You told me when you called, you're going to tell us something positive.
Something positive. Okay, here goes something good. You sound so nice. You really do. I love your voice. I'm loving everything I'm hearing. But when I hear somebody say the name of the station, they don't never say call us in with a lot of negativity as much as you can give us. They say call us in with your views, but people need to call and say something good. What about the lady that's sitting around right now? She's already in a down mood. She want to be in a good mood. She listen to your radio station. She want to hear something good. She want to hear somebody call in about something good. Tomorrow. Well, I'm tired of them using the N-word. People use the N-word, the H-word, the F-word, the B-word. All kind of words are being used. But at the same time, though, we're still going on. Let's talk about the good things that's going on. The sun is out today. It's going to be 50 degrees.
Yes, that's right. It is. It's beautiful.
You know what I'm saying? My kids at school, thank you, Jesus. I can get some peace by myself for a little while. Let's talk about some good things.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm going to McDonald's right now to give me a combo meal.
Okay, you got it. Do you have a coupon?
I wish I did. Let's have a caller call in and tell them they got a coupon for me. They can meet me right here on page at McDonald's.
Right, you know, and you all can have a cup of coffee together.
Somebody need to call in. Because I'm going to tell you like this here. I admire you just for doing that job because I don't know how you can sit there and put all that in your head for hours at a time. People just pounding you with what they don't like. Somebody walked by me and winked his nose. I was just so mad at that. People should stop winking their nose. And what is wrong with you? You know
all right.
What I'm saying? Go pay your bills and take a nap. So let's have a good day today. It's Friday. Let's get paid and enjoy ourselves, okay? I love you. Be good, okay?
All right, my brother. Thank all you right. for calling in. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Mac.
Good morning, Miss Smith. It's a beautiful day.
Oh, yes, it is. It's good. Is the garden all cleared out, or is there still some more goodies?
It's going to be approximately 60 degrees today.
All right. You've been to White Castle to have your coffee?
I've been there, and I had that at 5 o'clock this
morning. I know, that's right.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Did your car started this morning?
That's a good. Started up perfectly this morning.
That was a good thing.
I got my water still on. I'm washing clothes.
Okay, your water's running. You're washing clothes.
Yeah. So, anyway, what I called for is okay, I would like for Mrs. DeLois to call me if she's listening to your station.
Did I call Mother Merchant from DeLois from the Vote Irene J. Smith campaign?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, she listened. Give me a call. Please.
All right. All right. Thank you, Mac.
Thank you.
Passing along messages on the wake-up call. We don't mind.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right, dear heart.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. We are just moving right along. Time is flying, and we're at the bottom of the hour just about within a few seconds. This is the morning wake-up call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who will be back with you on Monday. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a brief break. We're going to be back, and I'll be with you for another half hour.
That someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Westbound 270 between Bell Fountain and West Florissant. Look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 70 at Shreve. There's no sign of that reported accident. The eastbound 40 at last Missouri exit, which is Broadway exit, look for road maintenance operations having that ramp blocked off. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around. Northbound 55 at Germania and Arsenal, no problems reported there. Eastbound 44 at the Merrimack River Bridge is returned back to normal. Eastbound 40 between Mason and Hanley, look for no problems there. Eastbound 70 from K to Blanchett, everything is flowing freely this hour. Northbound 270 at 44, that traffic has returned back to normal. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55, expect normal traffic. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB, you still have bumper-to-bumper stop-and-go traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Route 3 onto the ramp to Poplar Street Bridge, that traffic is finally easing. In both directions over on the east side, you have 255 at Camp Jackson, there's road construction. And in both directions, 64 between 158 and Agreement Road, look for road construction going on there, and that will have one lane closed during off-peak hours. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines has 3 daily flights from St. Louis to Fort Myers, Naples. Are you thinking what they're thinking? Maybe it's time to see Fort Myers, Naples. Visit southwest.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Looks like a great weekend shaping up. Sunny skies today, high in the lower 60s. This evening clear with a lower in the lower 40s. Saturday mostly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Saturday evening mostly clear once again with a low in the upper 40s. And Sunday partly cloudy skies with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 43 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 41, both under clear skies. Liz Brown is away today. However, we have Beaumont graduate Irene J. Smith filling in for her. That's up next on the Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year. A simple answer to rebuilding the Gulf Coast is to trim waste out of the defense budget. But why is Congress afraid to touch the military? Because no one wants to be seen as weak on defense. Monday morning at 7, Lawrence Korb from the Center of Defense Information joins us on the Wake Up Call with a new report that shows up to $60 billion could be cut out of the $440 billion defense budget without harming a thing. Now, it may not be enough to do the whole job, but it is a great starting point to help Louisiana and Mississippi get back on the road to recovery. We'll look at some other defense programs that could be dropped because they're simply outdated. That's coming up Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Liz Brown returns to the award-winning Wake Up Call on March 28th. Today's edition is being hosted by First Ward Alderwoman Irene J. Smith.
It seems we stood and talked like this before. We looked at each other in the same way then. I can't remember where or when. The clothes you're wearing are the clothes you wore.
All right.
The smiles you were smiling then.
Liz will be back before March the 28th. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who will be back on Monday. In case you're wondering who that was Mary Stallings with the Gene Harris Quartet, Where and When. I'm going to go to the phone lines. Lady from the East Side, talk to us.
Yes, hi, good morning. I can almost barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit.
All right.
All right. Okay, see, I heard you when you said that. But it is a blessed and beautiful morning. And I do appreciate hearing the discussion going on because it's a well-needed one for our community and communities abroad, but mainly ours. When we do get into discussion about our people, you know it's a time and a place. But things have been tastefully discussed this morning, so I appreciate that. And to the caller who said that he had positive things to say, he had a few positive things, but mainly he dumped on the previous caller.
There you go.
You know, it's nothing wrong with having a discussion about those who are in the entertainment field, those who are athletes and, you know, musicians abroad. If we don't hold our standards and our the candle up high for our children and grandparents and grandchildren, then who will? And we have to make them accountable, and then those big record execs and movie mongrels or what have you who are out there and tell them, well, you can't do the script this way, and, you know, putting them down on their creativity. What about when O.C. Davis, you know, Harry Belafonte and all the other greats who came before them took a stance? You know, it meant not working. I mean, it's a plethora of things out here. So you not working should be the last thing. If you have to do your thing underground, which meaning you do it in clubs or you do a field piece, you know, that is open to the public, word of mouth, get them out there to see who you are. If we don't set the standards and have some self-love and self-respect for one another, then who will? You definitely cannot depend on people outside of not only your community but, you know, your race to be held accountable for the good that's supposed to go on for you. And we're not responsible for one another's happiness. We're supposed to enhance one another and be genuinely kind and respectable, if possible, to one another, courteous, show that we have manners. But it's to each individual because happiness starts within oneself.
That's
one
right.
One with themselves and their own creator. You know, there's so many things we could touch on. But, you know, beautiful Nubian brothers and sisters, I just want you all to hold that beautiful raw head of yours up high,
all right.
Smile, and be one in peace with the creator and know that we always have been somebody. And we are somebody, and we will continue to be somebody as long as we discuss those issues that are important to one another.
Thank
and
you,
the
sister.
Whole of our community.
Thank you so very much for your call.
You are more than welcome.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you. The same to you, sir.
All right. Good morning.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm okay.
You know, in my belief system, the caller that was upset at the young children of God, he's considered a elder to be respected and loved.
Exactly.
And if you and it had and it's a structure. My family, I believe in this because I learned this when I went to Brooklyn, New York. Well, actually, Van Sicklin in 1980 with my ex-wife, and I changed my way of life. It was in the ghetto, and I learned this from somebody who was preaching. Wasn't really preaching, showing me a way of life. And if you're over 50. And a female, you have even more power than a male because women are considered the life givers, but also they are held in high esteem, women over 50. So, you know, but when I believe in, you know, the Elohim, the child of God, and you're an elder child of God, you shouldn't, we should all go out and try to not maybe destroy the children of God, but maybe go out and try to nurture them, talk to them about, you know, we disagree with something you're doing. Because my grandmother, who was a Christian, my great-grandmother, thought Nat King Cole was that was filthy music because it wasn't gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I understand it's those people like 50 Cent are making a lot of money doing things I don't necessarily agree with. But when I critically analyze the situation, this society he didn't make, you know. And I see rich people going to jail who are already rich trying to get richer. So I think, you know, it's kind of like Beethoven. He's talking about the political ills of today, you know, because they wanted to, you know, castrate Beethoven also. You know, people didn't like him, you know, because they thought his music was It's too revolutionary. Like Kanye West. Do you like Kanye West?
Yeah, I do.
That was a positive young brother, child of God. You know, he was. He was a powerful young man who said things that I don't want to hear my elders saying. Mm. You know, because people only will respect you when you act in a respectful way. And we should always, as younger people, like the older I get in my family, I want more respect.
And you have to give it to get it.
But you have to show it, too.
That's right.
Have a good day, sister.
All right, you too. Have a great weekend.
You too, sister.
All righty. Caller, talk to us.
Hello?
Caller, that's you. Talk to us.
Yes, Irene?
Yes, ma'am.
I was calling about the dress code that people are talking about now. Back in the late 50s and the early 60s, and the women was wearing hot pants and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't noticed because of TV and television that wasn't able to show all this here. So a lot of this stuff that's coming up is because it's being more publicized, but dress codes have always been disrespectful to the older people because they don't dress like that no more.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that I wear when I was young, I really don't like see it on my kids.
You are absolutely right. And when you said hot pants, I'm one of the guilty ones. During that time, I'm pleased to say I had a much better looking body. I don't think that particularly. When I see it, I had to go back through that photo album. You know, and I'm going to say, you know, I wasn't a hoochie mama, but when we see the young sisters in those very short pants, we refer to them as hoochie mamas or, you know, booty cutters or whatever.
Well, a lot of people just like to keep up with the style.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you say something about you came up around Sheridan.
Yes, ma'am, a little. I grew up basically downtown, Sheridan, Cochran Projects.
Yeah, my kids grew up in the Cochran. When you said Sheridan, I don't know whether it's not an advertisement because the place is closed now, but do you remember Neil's Lounge?
Yes, ma'am. I remember Neil's Lounge. I remember Three Nickels. I remember Tilly's.
Oh, well, I was married to one of the grandsons of the Three Nickels.
All right.
But Pauline Neil.
Yeah, I went to.
And she just passed Monday.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry to hear that. Now, I went to kindergarten at Dunbar.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's where my husband, he grew up on Sheridan. His family, and he was a relative of Three Nickels.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a lot of folks, Sonny Liston, you mm-hmm. know, quite a few people came up from down that way. Uh-huh. And, of course, we can't forget Cody. We can't forget the Codys.
No.
Yeah, boy, Cody's grandmother got a hold of me one day. Well, sister, we're nearing a break time. I appreciate you calling in. This is the morning.
Well, I was just interested in this conversation about dressing.
All right. I appreciate your input.
Okay.
All right. This is the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. We'll be back with you after the
first time seem to be happening again. And so it seems we have met before. And laugh before, and love before, but who knows where or when? It seems we stood and talked like this before.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Ever hear of the Restore?
Yeah, where is it?
3763 Forest Park Avenue, east of Vanaventer, west of Spring.
What's in the Restore?
It's an eclectic mix of new and used building materials.
Like cabinets, stoves, hardware?
Absolutely. Everything from windows and doors to the kitchen sink, and then some.
And your purchases benefit Habitat for Humanity St. Louis, right?
Yes, they do.
I gotta check this out. When's the Restore open?
Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 4.
3763 Forest Park Avenue.
The Restore. Check it out.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
Did you know that you can have the leaf blocker gutter protection system installed by United Homecraft and eliminate gutter cleaning forever? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is leaf blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The leaf blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System from United Homecraft, one of St. Louis's oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the ITEX Trade Exchange. Your ITEX trade dollars are welcome.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
Liz Brown returns to the award-winning wake-up call on March 28th. Today's edition is being hosted by First Word Alderwoman Irene J. Smith.
Oh, don't go and talk about my father.
Talk about my father.
God is my friend.
Jesus is my friend.
He made this world for us to live in.
He made this world
and gave us everything.
God gave us everything.
And all he has of us is we give each other love.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Marvin, you know.
Don't go and talk about my father.
Yeah. God is love. Couldn't get out of here without a little Marvin. Oh, you know how it is when you have a quick replacement. Liz will not be gone until March 28th. She will be back on Monday. And I am Irene J. Smith, and Charles Quincy Troop is the First Ward Alderman. Let's go to the phone lines to try to clear them before I get out of here. Good morning.
Hello. Miss J. Smith?
It's Irene J. Smith. Yeah, how are you?
I'm fine. I just like to go back to the young gentleman that just made a comment that we never say anything good. It's always we're looking at terrible issues in the world right now.
We say a lot of good.
I'm with him. I really do feel him. Like, I'm a black man with a black family. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that all our black people listen to the Liz Brown Show to keep up with their info and what's going on in the world. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of just waking up and smelling God's air. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of all our older people, or our seniors, shall I say, who give us something to be proud to look at, and I am proud to look at it, just to say, there's a good thing. We need to stop and look at and listen to some good points about what's going on in the world. So that's all I want to say.
All right. Thank you for calling in.
You have a nice morning now.
You too. Talk to us.
Good morning. God is good.
Yes, he is.
All the time. Yeah, my neighbor next door was going to take me to his church. I'm a blind man.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, I'm a blind white man.
But
God is good, and he's blessed me with a lot of knowledge and a lot of things. And I love the show because I get to hear people of different races talk about the topics that bring them down. It's really sad that everybody has to deal with President Bush and the different things that drag us down, because we're all created equal, whether they treat us that way or not. I just wanted to say that I love everybody, and everybody needs to embrace God no matter what the race, and praise God for America and the fact that we can all live and breathe and smell and work together, you know, towards a common goal. And I wanted to say, Miss Irene, I praise God for you being on the air, and I love the show. So you guys take care.
All right, Frank. Thank you so very much for calling in, and we appreciate your comments.
Praise God.
All righty. All right. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. I'm talking to you.
Okay, Irene, I met you before over at Quincy Troop's house. My name is Louise Miller. I live 5118 Cassell. And I'm really having a lot of problems trying to get my neighbor next door to cut her grass. It's been over 4 months. I've called the city. I'm in Alderman Carter's ward. I called. And I can't get no results.
You know what? I think one of the things that happens is the way the city really needs to take a look at what they call weed control, grass control,
right,
legislation. Because the way the law is written, you know, you send a person a notice.
Right.
They have 30 days to respond.
Right.
Then if they don't respond, they get another notice. And normally if it's an occupied structure, the city is not going to come on that person's property, understandably.
Right.
So we need to look at a way to get that person's attention. Are they sick or are they able-bodied? Or
this lady is a 50-year-old woman. It was her mother's house. I'm not being nosy, and I don't want nobody calling on her and saying she's knowing all of her neighbor's business. It's not that. We have a double driveway. And I keep over here spick and span. Whoever want to come by here, 5118 Goodfellow, I keep my property. I've been over here 20 years. So has her mother. Her mother is deceased now. But she has let this young man come over there, and he's got activities going on in my driveway.
Let me tell you this. One of the things that has not been used a lot in our community, but something you might take a look at. The state has what they call a nuisance legislation where actually a individual can institute a private action against another party that is bringing their property values down or negatively impacting their enjoyment of their property.
Yeah.
I would, though, encourage you to call your alderman. And the call, I'm not sure. I think Buck Green is.
I've talked to Buck Green a number of times. He said, the lady sounds like she's nice. You know, I'm nice, too. I'm 65. I retired.
I think that you shouldn't have to deal with that situation
right alone.
I think you need to call the Citizen Service Bureau again at 622-4800.
Yes.
And make that complaint known. You need to call. You know, sometimes when you don't get a response, what I do is I just make a notice, like, every day I'm
right.
going to call,
right.
every day, and just call. And I think you will get some results, and it's unfortunate that you have to go through that. But I want to move along so I can get a couple more callers in because I'll be out of here at 9 o'clock.
All right, and thanks very much.
You're so very welcome.
All right.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning, Irene. Peace and blessings to you. How are you today?
And I'm fine, sister, and the same to you as well.
Oh, praise the Almighty. Yeah, I heard Brother Malik call in, and I somewhat agree with him. As a matter of fact, I agree with him wholeheartedly. And I heard the other young man call in and say that we need to speak about positive things. Well, we can speak about positive things, but we also, somewhere along the line, have to address the issues that's among our people. And why? Because the proof is in the pudding. We're still the low man on the totem pole, aren't we?
Yes.
And we're still looked upon as a people with no direction. And until we stand up and redefine ourselves as a people, then we will continue to go the same path that we have gone since we've been in this country. Everyone has defined us but ourselves. But what the problem is, we try to fit ourselves in the box of others' definitions. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am, it does.
And so, therefore, when we, but, and I listen to a lot of pastors, I listen to a lot of leaders, I listen to many people, and they all go to the Bible to define our condition, but yet and still, when it comes to the solution, then they turn around and do a reverse and say the Bible's about religion.
So what you're saying, sister, is just as they go to the Bible to define the problem, they should also go to the Bible to work out a solution.
Find the solution.
Okay.
And before we can step
forward as a people. I hear that term all the time. We as a people, we need to know who we are, our people. Well, we need to know what those terms mean. And the word, if it defines the condition that we're in, then it defines who this people are. And we are the people of the Bible. It has nothing to do with one's belief, has nothing to do with one's religion, has nothing to do with any of that. We are the people of that book, and everything that concerns us outside of these last, I mean, before these 400 years, is in the book. And so, therefore, when we look at outside of the history that we have attained since we came to America, since our people were brought here, we would be a non-existent people.
That's right.
Because everything that's connected to us is connected to us, or as far as we know, these years of definition of being in this country. Everybody defined us by the history that has been established here. But who were we before we got here?
Sister, I understand and I appreciate your point. I think it's very well taken. I'm going to try to get this last caller in before
go and have a blessed day. Have a blessed life. Period.
Okay, thank you so very much. You have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye. Okay, brother, this looks like you're going to have the last say with me today. Go ahead.
Well, good morning and peace be with you, sister. How you doing?
I'm good.
I just wanted to call in and offer my support to you. I was glad you was on the show this morning, even though I didn't get in as early as I wanted to. But in reference to that Bible, I'd like to remind the listeners also something in the Bible. It reminds us to eat of all the trees in the garden. Except the tree in the midst of the garden, which is ourselves.
All right, then.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you so much. All right. This has been the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith. I've been sitting in for Liz. She will be back with you on Monday. Stay tuned.
Because God is my friend. He is my friend. He loves us whether or not we know him. And he'll forgive all our sins,
forgive our sins,
oh, yeah. And all he has for us, oh, yeah, if we give each other love, oh, yeah. Love your mother,
she bore you.
Love your father,
it worked for you.
Love your sister,
she's good to you.
Love your brother,
love your brother.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White.
What's your mood today?
I'm going to have a great Friday and a fantastic weekend. Hope you do too.
Karl Rove leaving for work this morning. Those close to the president's top aide say he's been told he won't be indicted today in the CIA leak case. But ABC News has just confirmed the vice president's chief of staff, Scooter Libby, will be indicted. We're expected to hear more on this at noon.
You don't know on the scope of the damage of the White House until you know what else Patrick Fitzgerald is going to do. And that is one of the biggest mysteries this morning. Will he try to extend this investigation, or will he say it is all over after whatever action he announces today?
ABC's George Stephanopoulos. Fitzgerald, the special prosecutor in this case, is expected to hold a news conference around 2 p.m. Eastern. And in the meantime,
the White House is laying low today. There'll be no briefings for reporters. President Bush makes a short trip to Norfolk, Virginia to deliver a speech about the war on terrorism. Returning to the White House, Mr. Bush will make brief remarks about White House fellowships in the East Room, following which he and the First Lady are to head off to Camp David. Closing a week where his Supreme Court nominee withdrew, top aides battled legal problems, and the U.S. military death toll in Iraq topped 2,000. Luis Schiavone, ABC News at the White House.
Blacked out, back on, power slowly being restored in South Florida in the wake of Hurricane Wilma, with about 3 million customers still in the dark. And there's a new storm vying for hurricane status.
We do expect some strengthening to occur during the next 24 hours, and it's quite possible that Beta could become a hurricane.
Stacey Stewart at the National Hurricane Center. Beta could be a Category 2 hurricane by the time it hits Nicaragua on Sunday. And there may be more of this.
Thank you! Thank you! Thank you, God! Thank you!
Chicago's throwing a party today for its World Series champs, the White Sox, with a ticker tape parade. This is ABC News.
Top three things I love about my new sconces.
Well, number three, they can instantly go from dramatic to moody, unlike me, of course. Number two, they're a little modern and a little Mediterranean, and that's totally what I'm into. But the number one thing I love, the price.
Come to the Home Depot now through November 9th and get 20 to 30% off select lighting and ceiling fan styles. For details, visit HomeDepot.com or the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid in U.S. only.
Travelocity presents The Roaming Gnome, denouncer of travel myths. First myth, if you fly for the holidays, you can't afford a trip next year.
Pish! With Travelocity, you'll get a great holiday fare plus up to $100 off your next vacation.
Myth two, most people put off holiday shopping till the last minute.
Not me. I finished my shopping in 1975. Hope you like pet rocks.
Book a holiday flight with your MasterCard card and get up to $100 off next year's vacation. Restrictions apply. Travelocity.com/holiday for details. Travelocity. You'll never roam alone.
In Iran, thousands marched through the streets of Tehran, some chanting death to Israel and death to America, as Iran's president stood by remarks he made about eradicating Israel. Reaction from ABC's Matthew Gutman in Tel Aviv.
Israel is specifically concerned about Iran's working towards achieving nuclear capacity, perhaps even in the next year or two or three. Israel said and asked the UN today to suspend Iran's membership from the United Nations as long as it continues to say such inflammatory statements.
ABC's Matthew Gutman in Tel Aviv. Monday's Halloween, which makes November 1st Black Tuesday for dentists. An Ohio orthodontist calls it the worst day of the year in his business. He expects the usual calls from kids with goop stuck in their braces, and he's offering $1 a pound to kids willing to part with their Halloween candy. He collected 80 pounds last year. He ships the sweets to U.S. troops in Iraq. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, the second of two men shot by a Lincoln County Sheriff's deputy will be laid to rest today. 23-year-old Michael Brown's funeral is set for today. 22-year-old Tyler Teasley was laid to rest yesterday. The men were killed when a Lincoln County Sheriff's deputy fired on their pickup truck during a traffic stop Sunday night after the truck began to roll backwards toward the deputy. The unidentified deputy remains on paid leave pending the outcome of a Missouri Highway Patrol investigation. A little over a month after obtaining a temporary restraining order on abortion legislation relating to minors, Planned Parenthood is moving forward with its efforts to strike the law permanently. The bill would give parents the right to sue anyone who helps their children get an abortion without their consent. Pro-choice advocates say the law puts teens at risk by making trustworthy adults afraid to give them information. A Jackson County Circuit Court judge yesterday heard oral arguments in the lawsuit. There is no word on when a ruling is expected. The St. Louis County Police Department is offering advice to parents and kids for the upcoming Halloween holiday. Officer Rick Eckhart says kids need to know that they shouldn't eat candy while out trick-or-treating because it may not be safe.
The parents should make a deal with the kids, you know, collect everything you can, but bring it back and let the parents inspect it first. There are going to be times when a container may be open or something just doesn't look right, or it might be a homemade treat from a house you don't know.
To help keep kids safe this Halloween, the St. Louis County Police Department will have extra patrols on hand and will also have more than 30 safety centers around the area where officers will be stationed. Finally this hour, gas prices dropped significantly over the past week. This week's Metro Source Price at the Pump survey shows the national average for regular unleaded is down 12 cents to $2.59 a gallon. The average has now dropped 33 cents in the past 3 weeks, though it remains 54 cents higher than this time last year. This week's average for premium unleaded is down 13 cents to $2.79. Every city surveyed saw its average drop this week. Drivers in New York City are again paying the nation's highest price, as they have since September 15th. The Big Apple's average is an even $3 a gallon, making it the only city surveyed to hit the $3 mark. For the third straight week, Oklahoma City has the nation's lowest average. Drivers there pay $2.12 a gallon, which is 16 cents lower than last week.
This WGNU news report is brought to you by Southwest Airlines. Fly to Fort Myers, Naples from St. Louis on one of Southwest Airlines' three new daily flights. Whether you're flying for business or pleasure, Southwest can get you there. Visit southwest.com today. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Southbound 170 at 270, there's an accident reported and the right shoulder is blocked. In both directions, 370 at Elm and 94, look for bridge maintenance operations having left lane closed. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit. Broadway has the maintenance operations going on. That ramp is closed. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around. Northbound 55 between Holly Hills and 44, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270, nothing to report there. Eastbound 40 at 270 in Big Bend is running smoothly. Eastbound 70 from the Blanchett Bridge all the way into the from 79, no problems to report there as well. Northbound 270 at 44, everything's running smoothly. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge has returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, nothing to report. Eastbound 5570 at the Kingbridge Split, look for bridge maintenance operations having two left lanes closed. Craig Road at Lackland, there's a report of an injury accident. Southbound 5th Street at 70, look for a disabled tractor trailer on the ramp to westbound 70 is partially blocked. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust your local Toyota dealers that know your vehicle best for convenient service and competitive prices. Oil changes, tires, batteries, and brakes, they do it all. That's moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Looks like a great weekend. Sunny with a high in the lower 60s. This evening, clear with a low in the lower 40s. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Saturday evening, mostly clear once again with a low in the upper 40s. And Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 44 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 42, both under sunny skies. Liz Brown is off today. She will be back on Monday. But we have a best of the wake-up call coming up next for you. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
A simple answer to rebuilding the Gulf Coast is to trim waste out of the defense budget. But why is Congress afraid to touch the military? Because no one wants to be seen as weak on defense. Monday morning at 7, Lawrence Korb from the Center of Defense Information joins us on the wake-up call with a new report that shows up to $60 billion could be cut out of the $440 billion defense budget without harming a thing. Now, it may not be enough to do the whole job, but it is a great starting point to help Louisiana and Mississippi get back on the road to recovery. We'll look at some other defense programs that could be dropped because they're simply outdated. That's coming up Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning wake-up call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how
can you listen? Liz Brown is off today, but we do have a best of the wake-up call segment for you. She will be back on Monday. So stay tuned as we play another best of the wake-up call segment coming up next. We'll take another look at your news and weather in the 10 o'clock hour.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Mondays at 9. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Please don't forget that We are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. And you can always, if you miss an hour, you can go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org, where we are archived daily. And you can always check out lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBrown.com. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I got to start this program with a confession. I'm not a sports expert. I am not a sports expert by any means. But I know enough about sports to know that anything that's happening in the world, in politics, social issues, it's all replicated, expressed through what happens in sports. And you can listen to callers on sports talk radios, and they have the same types of driven opinions as they do on non-sports talk radio. But just like in regular talk radio, many of the issues, most of the issues, a lot of the issues have race percolating all through them. All opinions have race percolating through all of them. And this morning we have an author, David Zirin. He is an author. He is joining us from Prince George County, Maryland. He has written the book, What's My Name, Fool? Sports and Resistance in the United States. Dave, good morning.
Hey, great to be here, Liz.
It's good to have you here. Race percolates through sports just like everything else, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. I mean, most of the time through the history of sports in the worst possible way, but also it's been an incredible sight for resistance and for racial justice. And I think there's some reasons for that that are worth discussing and exploring.
Well, let's start with the name of your book.
Sure.
What's My Name, Fool? And then there's this wonderful picture of Muhammad Ali with his, coincidentally, his mouth is open. So talk to us about why What's My Name, Fool?
Sure, absolutely. Because the book itself is about the intersection of sports and radical politics, about times when movements off the playing field found expression on the playing field with electric results. And to me, the high point of that history is when the heavyweight champion of the world had one foot in the black freedom struggle and one foot in the anti-war movement of the 60s. And, of course, I'm talking about Muhammad Ali.
How did that change the world? How did the combination of sports and politics change the world?
You see, and I think this is one of the hardest things to get people in my generation to actually understand, considering the way sports are today with the hyper-commercialism and the fantasy leagues and the rotisserie leagues and all that whatnot. But to get people to understand that in the 60s, when Ali fought, you had entire masses of people. They felt like their movement was advancing or retreating based on how Ali did in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
That there was this incredible sense of representation in a boxing match about how people felt about their prospects to fight for a better world. And I think what this had to do with...
And also the war part of it, too. Not just race, but war, too.
Absolutely. War as well. And also the free speech movements on campuses at the time as well. Places like Berkeley in the mid-60s that were fighting for the right to actually... students the right to have opinions. I mean, you had the heavyweight champion of the world who just would not be shut up, told everybody how pretty he was, and said he was the king of the world. And what a difference that made. But in terms of Ali, I mean, it's just incredible. You know, it just makes my pulse going just talking about it, you know, because you had a situation there where the heavyweight champion of the world, who's supposed to represent, you know, Americana and red, white, and blue and whatnot, he decides to join the organization of Malcolm X, joins an organization in the Nation of Islam that, whatever one might think of their politics, was unapologetic about calling for self-defense for African Americans fighting for civil rights. You know, unapologetically called white people devils, and you had the heavyweight champion joining that organization. And I think Julian Bond, who, you know, now is the head of the NAACP, back then was a young civil rights activist, he said it very well when he said, you know, we may not have agreed with the nation in all of its politics, but we sent a thrill through our bodies that Cassius Clay would have joined them. It was like he was telling white folks to go to hell for us.
And the other piece of this is, and I don't think that a lot of people that are around right now. I don't think a lot of people understand the risk that he took, what he was putting on the line. I don't know anybody in modern times that has put the same amount of stuff on the line that he put on, that he did by making that decision.
Yeah, he put a tremendous amount on the line. And, of course, there's a period where he paid a tremendous price, you know, by resisting the war, by saying, I ain't got no quarrel with them Viet Cong. He eventually, what happened was he had his title stripped for a good 2 years. And he, of course, he lost millions of dollars in endorsements and all that. He was actually sentenced to 5 years in a maximum security prison. But it was actually struck down by the Supreme Court because the amount of public support that Ali had, I mean, and of course the lack of popularity that the Vietnam War had by the early 1970s, meant that it was absolutely impossible, you know, to actually put him behind bars at that time. So you just to say that you had this incredible interaction between man and movement. That's what I find so fascinating. Like, Ali was created by the 1960s, but then he in turn turned around and helped shape the 60s himself.
Is it possible for an athlete to do what Ali has done today in today's sports world?
I mean, that's a fantastic question. I think what would have to happen is that you would have to have a movement on par with the 1960s, and there's certainly no shortage of things.
Pick a topic.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Pick a topic.
Exactly. I mean, you got more people have died in the first couple of years in this war in Iraq than died in the first couple of years in the war in Vietnam. So it's not like there isn't ammunition for people to actually get on the streets and fight. But the thing about Ali, it's so clear when you look at his life, because in the early 60s, you know, he was a young patriotic fighter, you know, ready to play the game like everybody else. But it was the times that began to shape him. And that's how he began to say things like, you know, I'm going to let them always know that this is one black man that they couldn't get, that they couldn't buy out, you know. And he's just like, you know, the hell with the white man's money. Like, he would scream that at press conferences, for goodness sakes. The hell with the white man's money. I mean, it's an incredible thing to think about.
Well, and particularly, again, in the year 2005, when there is a whole ton of money out there for athletes, to say to hell with anybody's money at this point in time, it's in this materialistic, this thing-driven society that we live in right now, can an athlete, are there athletes, would an athlete do that today?
Well, that's one of the things with my book that I try to write about, is that there are athletes out there, because athletes are part of the world like all of us, you know.
Well, let's talk about Ethan Thomas.
Oh, Ethan Thomas.
Ethan.
Oh, I don't
know. Now, he's just as cute as Muhammad Ali, so... You know, this just as an aside, he's just as cute as Muhammad Ali, but he is doing some stuff.
He is doing some stuff, but for people who don't know, Ethan Thomas is a forward for the Washington Wizards basketball team here in my hometown, in Washington, D.C. And Ethan, I first started hearing about him. I mean, he bears a lot of responsibility for the existence of my book, because I started hearing about, first of all, Ethan just showing up on his own to poetry readings on U Street, you know, here in Washington, D.C. And just so you know, for your listeners there, U Street is not exactly the place you roll up in, you know, in the limousine and the SUV limos and whatnot, surrounded by your entourages. I mean, you know, it's on some street level, you know. And he's showing up to the poetry slams there, reading his verse. And that caught my eye in a big way. Then I heard about him showing up in front of the Supreme Court steps. You know, this is a basketball player reading poetry against the racism and the death penalty.
That's right.
Just showing up. You know, and a friend of mine called me up, not even a sports fan, said, hey, this cat showed up reading a poem about the death penalty, 7 feet tall with long dreads. And I was like, what? Ethan Thomas. And I was like, oh, you are kidding me. So I got in touch with him through the team. And at first I told the team, because I thought they would run interference, I was like, yes, I want to interview him about his rebounding prowess. And they were like, wonderful, we'll set up an interview. And then when we interviewed, I said, look, I don't really care about your rebounding. I want to know what you think about the war. I want to know what you think about racism, and I want to write about it. And he was more than happy to talk about it.
Were you the first journalist to approach him and ask him that?
There had been articles about him before, one or two, literally one or two, but they'd always been from the perspective of sort of like, isn't this an oddity? Look at this strange, large black man with ideas who also plays sports. You know, that kind of thing. Like, literally, thingifying him. You know what I'm saying? And but he never, he told me he never had anyone just ask him what he actually thinks about this stuff.
How do you explain that?
Well, I mean, the way I explain it is the same way I explain why a lot of people don't know who he is, or, you know, Steve Nash's politics against the war, or a guy named Donald Foyle. Like, all these athletes today who are actually doing good political work is because their stories get ESPN-ed, is a word I'm trying to coin here. You know, in other words, that their stories sort of get swallowed up by the media before they even get to speak about them.
But and isn't there a reason for being ESPN-ed? I mean, isn't it in the advantage of ESPN for a young man like him, to Mr. Thomas, to be kept in the realm of bouncing a ball, as opposed to sports having to deal with one of their players that is adamantly opposed to this war?
Absolutely. Well, that's the issue. I mean, ESPN, and I mean, it's not just ESPN, it's the whole kind of corporate sports media behemoth in the United States. I mean, they're consciously, I would argue, silence these voices, because their concern is that it'll offend middle America, you know, from watching their sports, buying their products and whatnot. So they try to make everybody as bland and as corporate as possible. They want everybody to be like Mike, basically, like Michael Jordan. Not just on the court, but also off the court, because there was never a more boring interview than Michael Jordan.
Well, could Muhammad Ali, could he have been able to say what he said back in the 60s on ESPN today? Would they, given what they've done to silence other people, would ESPN been, and other places been able to do to him what didn't happen to him back then?
You see, that's a great question as well. I mean, and part of it was that, you know, there was the media back then, you know, I mean, you could argue since they didn't have the internet and other, you know, they didn't have the Liz Brown show and other ways to actually hear some of these ideas, you could argue that it was, even though it wasn't as big back then, that it was even more closed up back then, less diverse, more difficult to get your stories out. The thing about Ali was that he had that mass movement that wanted to hear what he had to say. And that's really was the X factor that made the whole difference. So it's like today, it's like if you did have a similar movement, they would have to hear Ali. They would have to hear Etan Thomas. And that is the X factor. It's like the old expression about Martin Luther King saying, like, if he did the I Had a Dream speech in the 1930s, you know, he would have been lynched. He wouldn't have had, you know, people listening and cheering him. You know, it's that question of context.
And so the ESPN factor silences a player like, or ignores or marginalizes a player like Etan, but they also kind of marginalize what Rush Limbaugh has said too, haven't they?
Well, I think they gave Rush Limbaugh a platform.
Well, they gave him a platform, but they took it away after he said it. But they still didn't demonize him like they could have.
Right. I mean, the thing about Rush, I mean, that's a very interesting story in and of itself, and might be worth even breaking down a little bit.
Well, let's start with that. Let's break down the story.
Yeah, because it's interesting. Because you got, first of all, you have, ESPN with their number one rated football show, NFL Game Day, hiring Rush Limbaugh, not exactly the epitome of either sports or, I don't know, bodily shape. That would imply that he played any sport. I'm trying to be kind.
Well, don't hold back here.
Okay, you get this fat man talking about football. And, you know, I'm sorry, but it's a little strange. And they hire him because, you know, ESPN is basically run by the same people who tried to keep Michael Moore's film, Fahrenheit 9/11, from coming out. I mean, it's owned by Disney. It's a consciously kind of right-wing operation, proudly in that respect. So they get Rush Limbaugh on there, and they got Rush there, and this is the only nice thing you'll ever hear me say about Rush Limbaugh, they got Rush there to beat Rush. You know, no one wants to hear what Rush Limbaugh has to say about, you know, quarterback ratings. I mean, give me a break. Mm-hmm. They got him there to be, quote-unquote, controversial. And when he actually was Rush and said something absolutely idiotic.
And the same stuff he's saying on his radio show every single day.
Well, actually, one could make the case it was more tame than the stuff he said.
Fair
on
enough.
His radio show. I mean, on his radio show, he's famous for once saying, why is it that all criminal composite pictures by the police sketches, why is it they always all look like Jesse Jackson?
Mm-hmm. Or he said something about taking the bone out of your nose.
Take that bone out of your nose.
Yeah, and get off my phone. Yep.
Get off my phone. That's the Rush Limbaugh. And in this case, what he said something idiotic. I mean, that shows he knows nothing about football. But he said that that the only reason why Donovan McNabb is famous and successful, the Philadelphia Eagles All-Pro quarterback, is the media's quote-unquote social concern for seeing a successful black quarterback. I mean, which is just insane if you think about it, how many black quarterbacks have been denied the opportunity to play in the history of the NFL. I mean, we could quote chapter and verse on that. Now, what's interesting, though, just in terms of saying this, it's not that ESPN got shocked and fired him. And it's not even that the media reported on it and fired him. It was the blogs, and it was the Internet. And it was people spreading the word. Did you hear what this guy said? Mm-hmm. Not even the African-Americans who were on the show with him challenged him on this. Mm. Tom Jackson, Sterling Sharp. And I think in some respect, I don't say that to slam them. I say that in some respect to see how sort of conditioned we are to accept racism in sports. And but people
have you interviewed them for why they didn't say anything?
Oh, only the only thing I've done is heard their comments about why they didn't say anything.
And what were their explanations?
Their explanations were that they were speechless, that they were shocked, that they weren't sure how to respond to it. And in the days leading ahead, Tom Jackson in particular gave a very sort of impassioned kind of speech about why it upset him so much. But this is why I say it's not the case that I think that they're, you know, whatever, that they're Uncle Toms or that they're just, you know, holding a place for the network, an apologist for the network. I really do honestly think, Liz, that it's that people that were so conditioned to hear these kinds of racist things and not say jack poo about them, that they just sort of took it and moved on.
Mm.
That's what I really think it is. It's about social conditioning.
How scary is that? We're gonna take a break. I am talking to David Zirin, author. He is the author of What's My Name Fool? And if you would like a copy of his book, tell you what. Can we do this break, Howard? Why don't we do it this break? Or we'll do it this break. The fifth caller to 454-6660, 454-6660. The fifth caller will get a copy of the book What's My Name Fool? Sports and Resistance in the United States. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
The following is a best of segment for the wake up call. Liz will be back on Monday. This is a best of airing of the wake up call.
This is AM 920 WGNU, Radio Free St. Louis. Remember to listen to us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Praise the Lord, Radio Land. This is Bishop John Blue inviting you to listen every Saturday afternoon at 1:30 for the Jesus Only Church of God of the Apostolic Faith broadcast. We are living in a time when God is moving in His mighty ways, and I'm encouraging you to listen and believe so that you might receive the blessings of God has for you every Saturday afternoon at 1:30. Right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 week lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
All your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, black owned and black operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
A simple answer to rebuilding the Gulf Coast is to trim waste out of the defense budget. But why is Congress afraid to touch the military? Because no one wants to be seen as weak on defense. Monday morning at 7, Lawrence Korb from the Center of Defense Information joins us on the wake-up call with a new report that shows up to $60 billion could be cut out of the $440 billion defense budget without harming a thing. Now, it may not be enough to do the whole job, but it is a great starting point to help Louisiana and Mississippi get back on the road to recovery. We'll look at some other defense programs that could be dropped because they're simply outdated. That's coming up Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Cut your gas costs in half. Team up to share the ride to work in a carpool or vanpool. Thousands of St. Louis area commuters have discovered how ride sharing with Ride Finders can combat the sting of rising gas prices, and you can too. Ride Finders offers an exclusive computerized ride matching service free of charge, so sign up today and begin easing the strain that record gas prices are putting on your wallet. For a list of potential carpool or vanpool partners from Ride Finders free ride matching service, log on to www.ridefinders.org or call toll free 800-VIP-RIDE.
Wake Up Call family, we want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
The wake-up call is a best of today. Liz Brown will be back on Monday live in the studio at AM 920 WGNU. Until then, enjoy the best of the wake-up call right here on 920 AM.
Whoa. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue sky?
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. Our number 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU, email revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget, we are archived daily at whiteRoseSociety.org, and we are broadcast from Xenia to Zimbabwe at www.wgnu.net. Our guest this morning on Mondays at 9 is David Zirin, author of What's My Name, Fool? Sports and Resistance in the United States. David is joining us from Prince George County in Maryland. Dave, welcome back.
Well, great to be here. Great to hear some Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, kind of cool, huh?
DC Zone.
There you go. I love Barry Bonds. I don't care what anybody says. I love me some Barry Bonds. Talk to us about, in your book, you talk about Barry Bonds in Boston.
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
Absolutely. Barry Bonds was absolutely torn apart by the Northeastern media when he was asked if he would ever play for the Boston Red Sox. And his answer was, no, I would never play for a racist team in a racist city. And people absolutely lost their minds.
And the question is why?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, they doth protesteth too much is kind of like what a bit of an expression there. And it's amazing how angry this made people. And that's the first thing to really look at. I mean, because first of all, I love Barry Bonds, not just because I think he's the greatest baseball player, certainly in my lifetime. I mean, just dominates the game by his mere presence. Just incredible. But I also like him because he really does not care what people think about him.
Doesn't care.
Like, to me, if he was an actor, he'd be Sean Penn.
Mm.
You know, just like totally uncompromising. This is what I think. And if you don't like it, maybe there'll be a fist in your eye when you take out your camera.
There you go.
And there's something about that that, to me, has just always been very attractive as a player, as well as a personality, even though a lot of people hate his guts.
Now, but they hate him for that reason.
Absolutely, they hate him for that reason. They want their ball players seen and not heard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that that's just not a game that he plays. He's not going to do the shut up and dance game.
And also, just the words that they use to describe him are so nasty and mean and cruel even.
Absolutely. Now, the thing about this piece that's in my book, What's My Name, Fool, is about actually looking at that statement that Barry Bonds said and been like, okay, well, people are mad about it. Is there a basis for saying this about Boston? And when you actually look at the history, not just of the history of Boston, but also the history of Boston sports teams, that history is very well deserved. I mean, just a couple examples here. I mean, it's very well known that, you know, the Boston Red Sox, they didn't win a championship until last year, after almost 100 years, and they would talk all about the curse of the Bambino. But it's really about the curse of the racism. Because the Boston Red Sox, they were the last team to integrate in the major leagues. And in 1959, a utility player named Pumpsy Green. Now, of course, baseball integrated in 47 with Jackie Robinson. Now, in that 12-year interval, the Red Sox had the opportunity to sign people like Willie Mays.
Jesus.
And, you know, when Willie, and they could have had an outfield of Willie Mays and Ted Williams, you know, probably two of the five best players to ever play. And when Willie Mays got in the field, it's well known that either the general manager or the assistant general manager yelled, "Get that N off the field," although he didn't say N, of course. And that was officially team policy at that time, was get that N off the field. And, you know, that what that was about, and that's also about the Celtics, too. You know, people talk about the Boston Celtics, you know, how they won 11 championships in 13 years under the leadership of the great Bill Russell. But over that time, you know, they didn't even average a sellout in Boston.
Mm.
They actually averaged thousands of seats short of a sellout.
Mm.
And Bill Russell, I mean, he had his home broken into. He had a racist graffiti scrawled on the doors. He once had people once break into his house and defecate in his house.
Jesus.
And he would like, and you know, Bill Russell, what he called Boston is he called it a flea market of racism. And he always used to like to say, "I'm a Celtic, I have Celtic pride, but I am not a Boston Celtic."
Wow.
And he would draw that line in a very hard way between team and city. And Bill Russell, by the way, was a progressive brother in the 60s, wrote one of the great sports books of the 60s called, what was it called? His autobiography is absolutely incredible. I'll just put it out there. People can look it up.
Let me get to a caller here. You have a question for our guest, David Zirin.
Yes, I do. Well, first I'll make a quick comment about the Russ Limbaugh and ESPN action. Of course, he may not want to go so far as to call Tom Jackson or Uncle Tom, but I watched that.
You're drifting out a little bit. Can you stay on your phone a little bit better?
Yeah, okay. Is this better?
Yes, yeah. Much better.
I watched that thing play out live, and I was like, I can't believe Tom Jackson and him didn't say anything about it. And I believe that had it not got to the degree where the criticism got to the degree, as he said, over the Internet and other people talking about it outside of the mainstream.
He was forced to say something.
Yes.
I think that he was forced to say something. Had that not happened, he would have let that go by just as plain as if he hadn't heard it.
Now, because as a person of African descent, you hear it. Okay, now I other folks can say I didn't hear it because I hear that all the time. You hear it as a black person. You know, so your choice was to say something, hit somebody, or get up and leave.
Yeah.
Those were your choices, and you did none of those.
Yeah, exactly. He could have pulled a Novak and just left the set.
Mm-hmm.
But
for
what
better
I did
reason.
Want to ask the guest, though, have you heard of, it was a book written by Dan Moldea about game fixing in the NFL? Because I often notice whenever you talk, when you question sports, some of the people that first jump out to defend it are usually going to be the people in the sports media to begin with. They are like the front line of these people. And this book was called Interference. It was written back in 1989 by investigative journalist Dan E. Moldea, where he actually documented through an investigation game fixing that occurred in the NFL. And during the case of Cook versus the Washingtonian, this is Cook that used to be the owner of the Washington Redskins, and one of his chauffeurs had made a claim that he had told him don't bet on football because football can be fixed, and that it made some racial comments about black athletes. They took the magazine that printed this to court, Cook did, and even though the judge threw out his complaint about game fixing because Dan Moldea and all these other people that came in, that it was IRS agents, FBI agents that came in and testified to the fact of game fixing in the NFL, and the judge ruled, dismissed their claim that they were being sued, you know, wrong about game fixing. Even after all that, like, they left and they came back, and for some reason the Washingtonian buckled under, because the NFL has pulled a lot of weight. And
okay.
They buckled under and they sealed those records. They ended up printing a retraction and everything else, even though they were winning the case. It was just totally bizarre. And I just wanted to know if your guest had heard of this.
All right, thanks.
Comment on that.
Thanks, Will. David, have you heard of that?
Yeah, so just very briefly, let me just say that the Bill Russell book is called Up for Glory. Okay. I just hate not knowing stuff and raising it. The second thing is, yes, I have heard about that. And what the issue is there is that there needs to be an understanding of just how unbelievably powerful and entrenched the people who own NFL teams are. And, like, power they have to actually quash stories. I mean, have you ever asked about, like, why is it that, like, all this drug controversy, the steroid controversy, is ripping out through Major League Baseball and no one's really talking about it, the NFL? I mean, they were even brought in front of Congress, and members of Congress were actually wearing, like, their NFL team sweaters and buttons and whatnot.
Mm.
And, you know, it is a case of that case where it's like, if you are going to take a stand against the NFL, it's like they're going to come at you with two guns blazing time and again.
Now, we've talked about Barry Bonds, who I love. Let's talk about Pat Tillman.
Sure.
It's
actually very connected.
Yeah, very connected. Talk to us about what was said and talk to us about what hasn't been said.
Absolutely, and I write about this in the book.
Yes,
I
do.
I think it's such a story that people need to know about, because it gives you a very healthy respect in terms of, like, how sports can be used to manipulate the mind, but also how people can stand up against that kind of manipulation. I mean, people know the basic story of Pat Tillman, I'm sure. He was a football player, a safety for the Arizona Cardinals, turned down millions of dollars in a contract extension to join the Army Rangers and fight in Afghanistan and in Iraq. He had joined with his brother. And, of course, he was shot and killed in battle. And when he was killed, what we got was a nationally televised funeral. We got John McCain, the senator from Arizona, giving one of the main eulogies. We got George W. Bush addressing the Arizona fans over the Jumbotron. We got the NFL dedicating all kinds of things to Pat Tillman time and again. But what you didn't get was the truth. And the truth was that Pat Tillman, yes, he may have died in quote-unquote battle, but it wasn't against Afghans and it wasn't against Iraqis. It was against his own troops in an instance of friendly fire. Now, the thing about this story that's so disgusting, so just utterly, ineffably disgusting, is that the Pentagon knew immediately the circumstances by which Tillman had died, but they kept the information from his parents, from his family, and even from his brother, who was in the Army Rangers with him. And they kept it from him so they could go ahead with the charade of that funeral and call him like a hero who was trying to take a hill and all this stuff.
And use it as a recruiting tool.
Yes, as a recruiting tool. And that's a big part of it as well, because Pat Tillman, when he was alive, never let them use him as a recruiting tool.
Mm.
They asked him time and again, hundreds of times, can we use you on posters? Can we use you in video? Mm. All this stuff. And his response was always, no, I want to be anonymous in this process. I don't want to be used in that way. But dead, he was much more useful to the Pentagon than alive, especially since his death occurred almost simultaneously with the scandal at Abu Ghraib and the pictures that came out of the guy with the black hood and the electrodes and standing on the box. And so this is just a horrible case of manipulation of a family's grief. And what's actually positive about it is that his family, especially his parents, Pat Sr. and Mary, they have, since this occurred, stood up. Very private people, not political activists or in any way, shape, or form, have stood up to actually decry the Bush administration and the Pentagon for how their grief was manipulated for the purpose of selling this war. And the lesson in all this is, like, there's a lot of talk right now about, like, what are our troops dying for? You know, what's going on? There are no weapons of mass destruction over there.
Cindy Sheehan.
Cindy Sheehan,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It connects with this very strongly. She is posing that question on this country, on the conscience of this country right now. Like, what are our troops dying for? And if they wanted to, if the Pentagon wanted to answer honestly about what Pat Tillman died for, they would say PR.
Mm.
We're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to David Zirin, author of What's My Name, Fool?
Call me Dave.
Dave. All right. What's My Name, Fool? Sports and Resistance in the United States. I'm Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. We'll be back to take some more of your questions, some more of your calls, some more conversation with Dave. We'll be back.
Stick around for more of the best of the Wake Up Call. That's up next. Liz Brown is out of the building today. She will be back on Monday. So the Wake Up Call will be live on Monday, but we have more of the best of the Wake Up Call coming up next right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Science or religion? Republican or Democrat? Politics, education, crime? Or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies? What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Try your best.
Direct from Austria, the Spanish Riding School of Vienna, in their first North American tour in over 15 years. This rare visit salutes the 60th anniversary of General Patton's rescue of the Spanish Riding School and the Lipizzaner breed. For over 400 years, the unique and beautiful dancing white stallions have thrilled audiences around the world. Don't miss this incredible experience, the Spanish Riding School of Vienna.
The Savas Center, November 12th and 13th. Tickets now at the Savas Center box office and all Ticketmaster outlets. To charge by phone, 314-241-1888. Presented by Audi.
Hi, I'm Susan Smith Harmon, and I'm moving to a new time, Fridays at noon, right after Gary Wiegert on AM 920 WGNU. So grab that yogurt and that apple or whatever it is you like to have for lunch and join me noon every Friday. Susan Smith Harmon Show on AM 920 WGNU.
Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
A simple answer to rebuilding the Gulf Coast is to trim waste out of the defense budget. But why is Congress afraid to touch the military? Because no one wants to be seen as weak on defense. Monday morning at 7, Lawrence Korb from the Center of Defense Information joins us on the Wake Up Call with a new report that shows up to $60 billion could be cut out of the $440 billion defense budget without harming a thing. Now, it may not be enough to do the whole job, but it is a great starting point to help Louisiana and Mississippi get back on the road to recovery. We'll look at some other defense programs that could be dropped because they're simply outdated. That's coming up Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
The Wake Up Call is a best of today. Liz Brown will be back in the studio live Monday beginning at 6 a.m. Now we return you to the best of the Wake Up Call.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. I am talking to Dave Zirin, author of What's My Name, Fool, Sports and Resistance in the United States. Dave, I want to share with you a piece of your book that I want to ask you a couple questions about.
Sure.
This is the part that reads, "I wish my brother George was here, the evolutions of George Foreman."
Yes.
"You could not reproduce a character like George Foreman unless Madeleine Albright had a love child with Bernie Mac. The question arises, why was Foreman permitted to recreate himself with such panache and abandon while John Carlos, a man of talent, intelligence, and strength, of courage and principles, was blackballed from the sporting world, denied rewarding employment, and consigned to total obscurity?" So talk to us about why you say that.
Well, I mean, it really starts by knowing the story of John Carlos from the '68 Olympics. He was the bronze medalist on the famed medal stand picture of him and Tommy Smith raising their black love fist in opposition to a great deal of the institutionalized racism, not just in the United States, but abroad as well. A lot of people don't know that on the medal stand, they also didn't wear shoes to protest poverty, that they wore beads to protest lynching, that one of their demands was to have South Africa and Rhodesia disinvited from the Olympics because of apartheid. In addition, that one of their demands also was to have Muhammad Ali's title restored, by the way. Now, when Carlos and Smith took their stand, they immediately, of course, suffered serious retribution. They were kicked out of Olympic Village. They had their medals stripped. They were sent back home. They received tons of death threats. And I had the privilege of interviewing John Carlos for my book, and he told me stories about, like, having bullets sent to him in the mail, about living in Harlem in the 70s and chopping up his own furniture for firewood during the winter because they just had nothing. And Carlos, you know, if he had decided to play their game, you know, returning Olympic athlete in the 70s, he could have gotten all kinds of jobs. But he felt like taking the stand was more important. Now, Foreman, who I also, you know, I will say had the privilege to interview for the book, has obviously took a much different path that for him started in 68 as well at those Mexico Olympics, where after Foreman won the heavyweight title, and this was just the day, or I believe the 2 days after Carlos and Smith took their stand, Foreman, he chose in the ring to wave a small American flag and bow to all four sides of the ring. And that was seen as a very direct rebuke to what Smith and Carlos had done. Now, of course, Foreman has had this incredibly interesting career where he went from being the snarling, quiet heavyweight champion to finding religion to now becoming like the Meineke pitchman and George Foreman grills and just this almost P.T. Barnum, jack-of-all-trades kind of fella. And it's amazing how George Foreman's been able to reinvent himself time and again. But it's also worth saying that the reason why he has the space to reinvent himself has to do with the fact that, you know, I would argue that he took the easy road at a time when John Carlos and Tommy Smith took a stand.
When you were talking to John Carlos about this, what is he like now? Does he regret what he did?
John Carlos has zero regrets. At the same time, he has more than his share of bitterness and cynicism about the whole ordeal as well. He's very proud of what he did. He's very proud of the stand he took. He's very proud of the man he is. But, like, I asked him, like, wow, do people today see you as a hero, do you think? And he said, well, sometimes they speak that way, like on the radio or TV, but face-to-face, it's like they treat me like I'm a cancer survivor. Like, they just sort of look at me in this way that's like, ooh, will I catch what he had if I go too near him or something, and keep him kind of at arm's length. And there's a degree that him and Tommy Smith, there's an aspect of them that's still somewhat radioactive to the mainstream because what they did was so outside the norm. You know, I mean, they took the opportunity to have that international platform and actually stand for something. And it's an incredible thing.
How does the world outside of the United States view them?
It's interesting. It's the same way they view Ali, which is almost a mythic folk hero status for what they did. You see, I think any of us who've traveled abroad know this to be the case. You know, any of us who travel abroad who don't, I would say, make excuses for American power and American influence, both militarily and culturally, around the world, find that we're treated incredibly, almost with gratitude. Like, oh, I'm so glad the United States isn't like this sort of colossus, this monolith. You know, I'm so glad that there are people like you who actually stand up against what the United States tries to do around the world. And it's because of that why Ali is so beloved around the world and why Carlos and Smith's gesture was seen as something that, in the best tradition of internationalism.
Did you ask them the question of why they stayed here?
Why they stayed in the States?
Yeah.
I didn't ask. One reason why I didn't ask is for John Carlos is that there was a bit of an obvious answer in that they had no money.
Mm-hmm.
And no opportunity to relocate. Mm. Another person who was part of that 68 movement, it's interesting that you ask that, Liz, because another person who was very key to that movement was a man named Lee Evans, who's kind of a forgotten figure, but I interview him in the book. He set the world record in the 400 meters, And Lee Evans actually has spent a great deal of his life outside the United States training track teams in the Middle East.
Mm.
And so, I mean, he is somebody who he had the opportunity to get out and spent a lot of time out.
Mm. And we have 3 minutes left here, Dave. Let's talk about Redskins.
Yes.
Let's talk about Redskins. Well, you write about that in your book as well.
It's so interesting. We've had the good, the bad, and the ugly of Washington, D.C. since I've been on this show. I mean, you've played the beautiful Marvin Gaye. You know, and now we got to talk about the Washington Redskins. Yeah. Well, it's called the good and the ugly.
There you go.
Well, people, I'm sure, know that the Washington Redskins, I mean, this is a game, this is a team name that, frankly, should be in the dustbin of history, along with the burning of witches, for goodness sakes. And the fact that it persists, I think, speaks to some of the persistence of racism. The history of the name, I think, speaks to why it absolutely needs to be abandoned, crushed, and thrown away. It goes back to it's the team's original owner, a man named George Preston Marshall. George Preston Marshall moved the team from Boston. They were called the Boston Braves up there, and moved them to Washington. At that time, the Washington team was the most southern team in the United States, and he wanted to market it to be the NFL's southern franchise. And so to do that, in his mind, being an arch-segregationist himself, it meant appealing to white southern fans. And that meant coming up with a name as racist as possible. I mean, if he could have called the team the Washington Amos and Andes, he would have. But instead he went with the Redskins. And it spoke to his desire to appeal to the worst ideas, the worst angels in people's nature. And today, when you ask the Redskins why you call yourselves that, they say, oh, it's a tribute to the red clay Native Americans who covered themselves in red clay before they went to battle. And it's just like, oh, yeah, George Preston Marshall was this Native American sociologist studying the red clay Indians. I mean, if you believe that, you believe that, Strom Thurmond used to celebrate Black History Month.
Dave, I want to thank you so much. Where can people get your book, What's My Name, Fool?
Oh, you got to go to Amazon.com or go to your local bookstore.
Very good. Dave Zirin, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
My privilege. Anytime, Liz.
Take care now. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
Liz Brown will be live in the studio on Monday. This is AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me brother, tell me sister. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg, hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Packing up, the vice president's chief of staff is expected to be indicted soon in the CIA leak case. ABC's Luis Schiavone is at the White House.
Sources close to the White House tell ABC News that the vice president's chief of staff, Louis Scooter Libby, is poised to resign. Special prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald is expected to announce formally that Libby will be indicted in the CIA leak case. Libby